The following podcast contains references to illicit drug use. The panel on tonight's show do not endorse the use of illicit substances. They do encourage you to do your own research so that you can make informed decisions.
Nobody got hurt. That's a fact. That's a fact. Stop it. That's a lie. That is, in fact, a lie.
It's currently 7:30 p.m. here on the 30th of September 2018 and you're listening to the Australian Fakeologist Roundtable. And to introduce your guests for tonight, here's your host, Lord Rollo.
Thank you, Velo. Well said. So, what a week it's been. We've had, oh my goodness, what have we had this week? Now, what was the A.A. Morris thing? I'm sure we'll get into that, but let me just introduce Rick from Port Macquarie. Rick, g'day, mate.
Yo, bro.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice. And Noise Level from Perth. G'day, Noise.
Yep. G'day.
And of course, Velo, you heard, our wonderful producer. So let's get right on with it. A.A. Morris, where can we go with this? Have we got something we can start with?
Yeah, we can find an episode of his if you'd like to review some of the stuff he's been doing.
Because apparently what happened this week is he took down his whole site and all the audios are gone now.
Oh, okay, the audio's gone, is it?
They've all been taken away. I was talking to the boys this morning and the whole site's gone. So
wow, are you sure on that? I haven't checked that.
Well, You can check, but look, I mean, we feel us here at Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. We're doing it a little differently tonight, but the one thing I don't like about people like that do a bait and switch, when they bait and switch you on the internet, where you know they pal up to you. And, you know, when you get palled up to and then they turn on you, and it's happened in the past quite a few times to me. I don't know about you, Rick. Over to you. What do you – I mean
– I'm a newbie to all the this school stuff. So I have seen this technique done in other – you know, it's certainly an old technique of betrayal and infiltrate and betray. It's not new. It's not something that he's just pulled out of his hat. I was quite a fan. I listened to his stuff, but I'm not a science guy. So I used to listen to it and it was kind of going in one ear and some of it resonated and some of it didn't. But I liked his voice. He had a really very professional voice. And I suggest that he has done a
piece. Can't you do an imitation of it? Like
I can, but it'll pop in throughout the talk tonight. But
sure.
But I've been listening to him because he's got a very distinctive style, and I think
Fakeologists, here's AA.
he's just amazing like that. And
can we have that again? Take two. Let's come on. Hey, are you still here, mate?
Fakeologists. Here's AA.
he was very he started off within he was within 2 weeks he managed to do 30 podcasts, and I remember speaking to Del Qua and saying, you know, that's really unusual, and he spotted it quite early on the piece that, you know, how did this happen? You know, how does a guy suddenly come out of nowhere?
Yeah.
And it claims to be a nobody and just suddenly do 30 really big 2-hour each podcasts. which I thought were really good. He introduced a lot of stuff like analogies with the Pied Piper of Hamelin, which that triggered a bit of an alarm, you know, because that's very similar to what he's done. He's come in and piped away, and he's basically bragging that he's infiltrated and he's found out and he's gone through and looked at everyone's comments and he's been mirroring them. That's what he brags about, you know. He used that word. And, you know, I've been listening to it. I've pretty much listened to most of what he's done, and I've listened with my jaw dropping at the last 15 of them before he pulled the site down, where he absolutely went berserk.
Yeah, and, Berserker. That's a great song. Have you got that? Berserker. That sound grab's great. Berserker. I think that was, what was that from?
I haven't heard.
Berserker.
Yeah.
Berserker.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Clerks.
Clerks. The film. Thank you, Noise.
Yeah. Yeah, love it.
Would you like to listen to a little bit from the last episode?
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We'll run through to give anyone who's not aware of it an idea of what's been going on.
Let's have a little listen.
Adult internet intervention is needed. Adult internet intervention by adults to intervene with the adults in their real lives who are spending too much time on the internet. This kind of intervention is needed. So I'm playing my part. I'm serious about this. I don't think it's wise to lose connection with reality. I don't think it's wise. It's not wise not to listen to how you sound. I was trying to explain this to one of my two sons today, this morning, when I dropped my son, my youngest, off.
So this, I mean, is this a neolinguistic programming? What the way he's talking there is just
no. Strange. Well, he's getting demented here, and it's not that NLP is when you repeat phrases three or four times. Or he did and he tried. He does some really pathetic attempts of NLP by every time you hear John LeBron mention the name, you know, think of your blown off. Think of John LeBron Benet, John Lisa Bonet, John Cosby putting things in people's drinks, John Bond having a cocktail, poisoning other people with him. You know what I mean? It's like
that's good. And, you know, back in the day, that would have freaked people out because back in the day, you know, voice morphing or modulation is what freaked out a few, you know, the Dust Band Boys and whatnot. And that all.
Yeah, he's.
But once we get older, we get used to that. That's a really good. So let's play a little bit more of just a little bit more of AA, and let's see how well you do it.
I told my son on the way to school this morning, when I dropped him off at the same elementary school, I had dropped both of my two sons off.
All right, stop. Okay, you dropped your son
off at school, and John Lisa Bonet is waiting out the front of the school, and I can see a van coming down the road. And you know who's in that van? You know who's in that van? It's Chris Kendall, and he's got a gun. He's got a gun, and he's coming to see Lisa Bonet Cosby waiting for...
Hey, Morris, I'm a vegetarian.
I don't care.
I'm a vegetarian. Don't pull your gun out on me.
I will only pull the gun out on non-vegetarians. That's what I do. That's what I do. I work for Bloomberg. And then...
I was waiting for Velo to do the sound effect. There it is! Ow!
That was Lisa Bonet Cosby being shot by John LeBron.
Oh, Christ. There's two holes in me now.
John LeBron shooting Lisa Bonet.
Hey, fakeologists, here's AA.
Noise level. What are your thoughts on this AA Morris character? Have you got any?
I've heard his name, and I did check out last night one of his latest sort of video podcasts, and just the second half, and it was just what was it? It was two guys. One was kind of vegan, and the other one was not, and they were just constantly arguing, and he was sort of moderating. And
that's right.
Yeah, it was reasonably interesting. I mean,
yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was quite.
And when he lost the plot, what he was doing was just parodying. He's pretending a giant rat had come in the room, and what he'd do if a giant rat came in the room, and he jumped out, grabbed what could have been a replica pistol, and jumped into the full military shooting stance, and then pretended that, you know, what he said to them. What?
Well, we just lost Rick.
But he was just having,
keep going, Rick.
He was just having a joke and doing a parody, but he lost. He, you know, he's a guy that he self admits to being bipolar.
Yeah. So for people who don't know that are listening to this, you're on Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com with Rick and Noise Level and obviously Velocet. We're talking about the fellow who ran Hoaxbusters Call, and his name escapes me for the second. What's his name again? Sorry.
A.A. Morris.
No, not A.A. Morris.
Oh, Chris Kendall.
Chris Kendall. Yeah, Chris Kendall, who used to run, a wonderful podcast years ago. And the guy is a good guy.
Of course he is.
Good, good guy. There is nothing about the guy that he used to run a show every week. And
one of the best free-talking, free-form podcasts.
I agree totally. And there's no way I'm going to shit anywhere near him. The topic of discussion that we're talking about, like, you know, exposing media or fakery one psyop at a time, is not easy for a lot of people, and it can mess with a lot of people. I mean, we were talking to Lawsy the other day about it. We'll get into Lawsy later, no doubt. I think one of the things in your mind, you've got to know how to compartmentalize your mind.
Yeah,
Noise level
got something to say.
Sorry, Noise.
Yeah, I just quickly. So Chris Kendall, that was Hoaxbusters. Was he? Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Yep.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. Is he not broadcasting anymore? Mm. So I'm just not in the loops.
Not What's really. He went on his travels.
He had a bit of a meltdown through because, and that was after he spent a lot of time debating flat earthers and vegans at the same time, and he's by self admission he has got issues. He was in the military, he was in the Navy for a long time. I don't know whether that's got anything to do with it, but he ended up having a meltdown and just saying, I can't handle any more of this. He pulled out his wiring in his home, you know, so he said, and went off.
He's done some of the greatest stuff, though, Rick.
Absolutely.
He went and interviewed those Freemasons that were made a phone call to
the BP oil spill guys.
And the New York Death Index, remember that?
Yeah, and that's really good stuff that he did.
Yeah, really good stuff.
And there's A.A. Morris going, you know, what kind of guy rings up the New York Death Index? I mean, he's crazy. And then he started on this thing. And I'll tell you how it started when I first picked up. He was going mental. He started on Dave J and John Le Bon and started picking on them. Both those two are thick-skinned, and I wasn't worried about them at all. You know, these guys have been getting pillared for their views anyway. Then he started on Dave's son and Dave's story about he'd had his last drink. He fell over in front of his son, and he'd given up alcohol. And he made that as a big, you know, he made fun of Dave J and Dave J's son. Once he did that, for me, I knew this guy has fucking lost the plot, you know. I mean, he's bringing in, you know, we can discuss and debate and call each other fuckwits and all that stuff, but once you bring in your children, your wife, and he did the same to Marcus Allen. He brought in the Marcus Allen having a debate. And I completely agree that Marcus Allen's wife probably, because I've just had a big relationship bust up, you know, in the last year.
Right.
It wasn't much to do with my views like that, but if I'd been sitting there on the phone doing this live talking and spending more time with my friends in brackets that live in different parts of the world discussing mad subjects, most relationships will break down. And that Marcus Allen's very concerned about that. so was John Adams. And John, and the fact that he picked on this when John Adams brought up the busty biker babes, paraphrase Dave J, that got caused a big thing with him, and then Dave
it
J
caused a net carry on.
And see, it's there you go. You know what I mean? It's like
it's all there in the
words.
It's
like Jesse War, nuclear bomb. You know what I mean? There's all these things that sharp-minded cynics like us mm-hmm. pick up on, and I think I agree with Ab saying we were perfectly entitled to question John Adams' thing, but I totally believe that Adams may well have had a relationship issue with his wife after bringing up their own friend's funeral that was possibly happening, and whether it happened, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to debate it, but I love John Adams' work. He exposed so much stuff.
I used to like his videos, you know, where he read through books and whatnot.
Look,
and,
but I've been listening to all of I've done pretty much everyone's podcast twice, maybe I could say, and particularly go on.
Because you live a life. You're on the road a lot.
I'm on the road, and guess what? Yeah. So is Ab. So was John Adams. Adams was driving, delivering bottles, and
wow, he went from left to right.
Oh, yeah, did he? I've only got one AirPod in my ear, so it just went straight in there.
I've got that in stereo, baby. Adams, thank you, Ab. Adams, he almost nicked my nose off there. He was that close. Go, Rick.
Yeah, you know, but when you start picking on people's wives or sons or whatever, even in any, particularly like the underworld world, you can be the biggest gangster and you can be having a run-in with somebody, but one of the golden rules in the underworld is you don't bring your kids or your wife into your issues. You deal with the people who are doing the thing. And there's a lot of lines have been crossed on these podcasts, whereas bringing up insulting people's wives.
If anyone went near my wife or my dog, the rest of my life hunting them down. That would be my mission, you know? Another refill.
So what seems to be happening is A.A. Morris now, as you said, has changed the website and is claiming that it's a very elaborate piece of artwork that he's done. Now, what I don't get is an artwork something you really do for a year on end producing two-hour-a-day podcasts only to sort of break bad in the last week and then just turn it all to shit? Like, do you think the idea is that something else is actually going on, like real-life person's got involved?
I believe so, and I certainly think Guy would agree. I've discussed it with him recently that there's too much hard work gone into 200 plus 1 hour to 2 hour podcasts of a really long, elaborate conversations on the orbit system and Newton arguing with science, all this bullshit. If you just wanted to have a go at someone and do a prank, you wouldn't spend that much time doing it. You just go in there and do a couple and then slam. Like some of those parody things that are going on now with the fakeologist thing with meet the fakeologist.
Well, we'll listen to some of those later in the show, but maybe we should hold this topic for a little while. Okay, if Guy joins us later, then we can always get his opinion, because he, of course, was targeted as well towards the latter episodes.
He was, but interestingly...
I'm just messaging now to see if he...
Interestingly... I spoke to Guy because at first AA was doing the poor Gaia, this crazy Dave J's doing this and crazy Dave J's giving Guy a hard time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Guy had responded with a couple of probably, I didn't see them, but they would have been good responses, and then he turned on Guy. You're like, this poor guy is he's a geologist and he's got a job, and he's too concerned with flat earth. He isn't a flat earther, but he thinks flat earth.
Spends all his time thinking about it.
Tell you my latest takeaway from these podcasts. I've got John LeBon, poor little young innocent John LeBon, John LeBillabong. John the Billabong, down at the Billabong. He was a crazy swag man. You know what that swag man is? It's Chris Kendall. he's gone crazy, and he's going to hurt John LeBong, John LeBillabong, but someone saves him, and it's Rollo. I want you to imagine Rollo coming over the hill, drinking heavily, and saving young John LeBong, John LeBillabong, from crazy Chris Kendall.
Peaceofmindful.com, Hoaxbusters Call, Clues Forum, Fakeologist, Miles Mathis, Miles Mathis, Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Dead End. Dead end.
Dead end.
Dead end. Dead end. Dead enders. Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com. Miles Mathis, peace of mind. Dead end. Dead end.
Dead end.
Dead end. Dead end. Dead enders. Miles Mathis, Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Clues Forum, peaceofmindful.com, Pockets of the Future, Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com, Miles Mathis, dead end.
Dead end.
Dead end. Dead end. Dead enders.
Oh, man, that's brilliant.
Fakeologist.com. thank you so much, fellow. That's dead end.
That was brilliant.
Dead end. Noise level. You haven't said anything. What are your thoughts?
That was great. That was awesome. Keep going. I love
dead
it.
End. Dead end.
Very professional. Very professional. I love it.
Oh, that was that, mate. Fellowship, that was brilliant.
Top
that's
shelf.
That was
top
beautiful. Shelf. That was that was Johnny Walker Blue Label.
That's still a blended. Ever. It's still blended. No, Glenfiddich. I'm going to be a John Laws. Glenfiddich.
Johnny Walker Blue back in the day when I saw it duty free for $280.
Yeah,
it was blends from 145 years ago. You know, but it's probably shit now because everyone's drank it. Like you,
you cunt. No worries. All right. So where are we off to next? Where are we going?
Dead air.
Don't worry about it.
He'll fix it up. But his rants, I believe, were real because he said some things that you just wouldn't say if you were, you know, you could be malicious. But when he started on Kendall and bringing up the pedophile and the species eating, when all Chris said was he ate raw meat, right? What kind of lunatic would turn around and bring out eating feces, tying that in with eating raw meat? It's like that showed me he was unprofessional and he was mentally ill to bring that to tie those two together. And if he was trying to get publicity, he's the one that's going to look like a nutcase if this was ever brought out as a movie. Or a documentary on I infiltrated the fake scene, and this is the kind of nutcases I found. He's the one that's going to sound like the fuckwit, not us. We're not the three bragging about eating our own.
Throw poo. Yeah, look, I'm going for a smoke, but I'll throw it over to Noise, and I'll be back.
I've never tried it. I'm eating my own shit, but I heard it's kind of spongy.
I've heard of drinking urine's apparently fantastic. I haven't heard the other
thing. There was a film with Dennis Hopper, and it's quite good actually. I can't remember the name of it. And there's some guy. I think he's ex-military. He's in prison, and he's going on about how eating. He had to eat his own shit once or something, and he's just going like,
Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper, warning. So that guy turned up in so many dodgy movies. He'd have to have had a rich parents and that backed him up. He was one of those guys, Easy Rider. There's some fantastic stories about him. I actually know someone that met him when he was working on, I think he worked on a big movie over here. And a friend of mine said this guy was crazy, you know, like, he just went all over the place, And he, at the same time, he'd been filming Apocalypse Now in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And then
he
played the mad journalist in Apocalypse Now.
I was just gonna say he was the mad photographer journalist.
Photographer, yeah. Then he came and filmed a movie in Sydney, and a friend of mine was working on that film, and everyone was sitting in a room smoking pot, and a friend of mine didn't touch it. And he started on them and going, hey, man, you a cop, man. You know, you're doing the fucking.
And, yeah, yeah.
And And my mate of mine said he's a nice guy, but he's absolutely bent. But he's a really good artist. Speaking of which, you'd be interested in this. Hopper was an art collector and also a great artist. And had
is
a
that huge, right?
Yeah. Good, get into that one because
right.
It's real.
Oh, check it out.
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Bigger. Yeah, cool.
No, you talk.
No.
Hang on. Sorry. Me and you are the same person, yeah. So we'll have to press the AI button, and one of us will change.
No, I was just going to say, another actor, Sylvester Stallone, he's a painter.
Absolutely, and got another one with a huge personal art collection.
Yep.
And knows his stuff.
I'll wait, hopefully Rollo will come in soon. But
I'm going to do a shameless plug. So fakeologist.com, $1.19 a month. If you want to donate
but if you're really rich, donate $911.
$911 bucks would be fucking fantastic.
And Canadian
ab on air forever. Yeah. Don't give in. I mean, Lawsy doesn't need it. His net worth is about 200 mil, so he doesn't need the money. I don't know why he's still doing radio, to tell you the truth.
Ego. Ego.
Ego is not a dirty word. Ego. Don't you believe what you seen or you heard. Who loves that song?
I'm glad John Laws is still doing it because I told you that I listened to that whole show, mate, from beginning to end, mate, and yeah. I was just loving it, mate. I was cracking up. It was awesome.
Yeah,
good job.
Look, my ego. I came in at the 29-minute mark, and then from there on, some woman came in and wanted to talk about something. I don't know, but I thought the Ben guy was cool and. Ben came here to Fakeologist for a day or two, but I don't know if we'll get
him. He was good. He's not no plain stuff, but he's more he's the architects and engineers for
North. Yes, North that's North. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah, he's done the flow and
he's done the he was at uni and did the anti-terrorist course.
That's right.
I say this, if you want to introduce people that will go nuts, forget about it. You're a nutcase. It's much more easier to bring in them through architects and engineers because then they'll go, that's one step. Because these guys are highly intelligent. If you've got 5,000 plus members, 5,000 plus members, maybe more.
Yeah.
Well, Everybody knows. Hold a cigarette lighter up to a coat hanger, a wire coat hanger.
And then try and melt it.
Yeah. Steel just dissipates heat. You just know it. Steel does dissipate heat. It's just a classic thing. It's just impossible. And planes can't fly at 500 miles an hour. I tried to tell Lawsy that himself.
There were some really good callers that came in after you. So hats off to you guys, because what you did, people may say, crazy. He's crazy. He's a fruit bat.
Yeah, the fruit bat.
That was
the guy at the end that said they were
guess what? You introduced the narrative and the conversation into what would have been some boring fucking thing about roads and taxes. You know, you've brought a conversation into it. So you did really well. So credit to you, brother.
what about Joel when he came in and said, cocaine, I mean, that Rollo guy.
what Velocet did was absolutely brilliant. I mean, he recited line for line the Harley guy, who's gay apparently, and he recited his line note for note and then blended it in with all the other things. And that was
when Vel went off, and then Lawsy's going with it. I mean, you are now a...
What did you say? He said nobody died, nobody got hurt.
And then it shook fucking John Laws all night long because he just went, he called him Rollo. He goes, no, I'm not Rollo, I'm Joel. I'm Bello. Yeah.
He's funny, isn't he? Because he calls you Richard and he's Richard.
Exactly. Richard John Laws.
Yeah, no,
Richard John Sinclair Laws is his
basically
real
though. He's name. At an age where his brain's all over the place at 84.
Yeah,
and so he's got a bad back, and he's probably on fucking endos.
Meadows, because like his voice isn't nearly as strong. I put it.
Yeah,
he's absolute wanker.
Thank you, John. Say it again. What was it?
Absolute wanker. Wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you.
There's not many people on this planet that actually laugh when they're getting called a blockheaded bastard and absolute wanker. But Lord Rollo, he laughs. That's good.
It's the best defense. It's the best defense to
laugh. Yeah, it is. And that's what
it really is. It pisses people off, mate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even if you're getting your face absolutely pummeled, mate, if you can keep a grin, keep smiling and laughing at the person.
It frustration.
Fucks them up. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And also, whatever you do, don't show fear, mate. It's nature. If you show fear in your eyes,
run up to a cop. Say you walk up to a cop and then start running. The cop will come and start running after you.
Oh, for sure.
Did you know that?
You freaked me out.
You know, dogs.
I've done that, man.
Have you done that? Yeah. Cool.
I was at my sailing club, and we were having a big night, and my mates were in their car, and they're dragging a bin and doing donuts in the car park.
That's what we do over here.
Yeah. And I'm there just cheering it on, like, woo, you know, like this. And we didn't know that there was like we didn't know that there was like there's a Sea Scout camp next door to the yacht club. We knew that was there, but we didn't know they were having a sleepover. All these little kids, Sea Scout kids, and I think we might have just jokingly said, you fucking Sea Scout, whatever. I don't know. It was just joking. But the guy that was in charge, he freaked out. He thought we were threatening them and we're making too much noise, and he called the cops.
Mm-hmm. What state were you in? New South Wales,
Victoria? WA. Okay. WA.
Yeah, the cops there. Yeah. The cops there are pretty gun trigger happy too.
Oh, mate. Yeah, I'll get to another story about that. It's a shocking story, but quick one. All of a sudden, so I'd had enough. You know, I was knackered, so I just thought, bugger it. I'm going to go to my car. I'm going to sleep in my car because I was wasted. And then I thought, you know what? Because morning was coming up, and I thought, you know what? I can't be fucked. I'm right to drive. Be fine. And so I started my car up and went out through the drive. And just as I'm driving, like this paddy wagon came the other way, right past me. And I went, oh shit. And I'm looking in the rear vision mirror. I'm going, mate, please don't turn around. Please don't turn around. And mate, all of a sudden the cop car just started brogging around and chasing me. And I kind of went, oh shit. I flipped out. And so I put the gas on. And then all of a sudden I stopped, I screeched, kicked the door open, threw the keys in the air, and just started running through the other yacht club that's next door. And this fat cop was just chasing me all the way. And in the end, because I had bourbon knees, I just was so knackered. And I thought, I can't be bothered with this. So in the end, I started like, I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of like taking me down, this fat cop. And so what I did, I went round and round in a circle and getting chasing, and eventually I went into a circle. And then before he could get me, I just laid on the grass. So he didn't have the satisfaction, and he handcuffed me. And oh, it was a classic, mate. Yeah. Yeah, I got done.
It's almost like me in 1997. When I got on DUI in 97, that's the first time I've ever been put in handcuffs. I lost my license for a year. $900 fine. It was a Blues Brothers movie at the end because I had five cop cars behind me in fucking North Sydney because I was so drunk. I was so drunk I missed the R time and turn off to go to the casino.
I know that one.
I know, I missed it. Went through North Sydney and got fucked.
Really. Now, that was my Saturday night, Rick, most nights.
Rick, I'll tell you one thing. It taught my wife to drive because I lost my license for a year.
Oh, so she didn't have a license before that?
She did, but she didn't like driving because she was nervous about it. But what the fuck? It was coincidence or providence or whatever you want to call it. You know, when I lost my license. I still got the charge sheet. I can scan it for you. It's just insane. Like when I went up to your worship and I said, Your Honor, you know, I plead guilty. And he wanted me to say more. And I just said, no. Do you need legal representation? I said, no. I'm guilty.
Growing up with the people I grew up with, that kind of thing is that every Saturday night you'd have a story that you can make a movie about the next day. You'd have two bottles of tequila. You'd have a 750 ml of tequila plus all this beer, and you'd go out and you'd have this adventure that you wouldn't want to. You could make, you know, that movie that they make a big deal of the Hangover. That was my weekend. That was my weekend for probably from 18 to at least 21. You know what I mean? Like for 3 years of solid adventures, getting chased, having cars ramming us. There's one night
at that time, you were here for a good time, not a long time.
I kid you not. Yeah. You know, like one night we went out and we were coming back blind on a Sunday night from, we went to see a couple of the Led Zeppelin movie. And one of the guys was in the back of the car, and there was a big, he thought one of our other mates was behind him in his car, and he's yelling out, doing the fingers. And it was this great big Maori guy following. And this guy, instead of just going, doing the fingers back, he started ramming the car and driving it and smashing in the back of it. And I'm telling you, we were going all around these back streets and whatever. This guy was trying to get us off the road, and we'd spun around. Eventually, he went off the road finally. But that was just like a normal, that was a Sunday night for us, you know, and the next day we're going, fuck, man, what about that? You know, that happened all the time. I mean, I could recount so many nights that people would go, fuck, you should make a movie about that.
Yeah.
Because it's just that that's what you do over here is you drink too much. Australians, New Zealanders, the English, probably the Americans. And I assume the Canadians as well. It's like, but we actually not the Americans, because the Americans cops mean business. If our cops had guns, I wouldn't be here now. It's like that wouldn't
our cops have guns.
Yeah, they did, but they weren't. They didn't pull them out. The cops are here were tough as nails, man. In Australia, they get into a fist fight.
Have you ever had a gun pointed at you?
Yeah, I had a shotgun, but that was because we were standing on when we were about 14 or 15, sitting on someone's back wall smoking, and he was an old guy, and he swung his windows open. He's gone. He was an ex-World War II vet. He used to teach us at school, and he swung the windows open, pointed a double-barrel shotgun, and he's gone, Handy Hotch, you know, which is hands up in German. And we've just gone,
oh, really?
Turned white and dived over direction. But people over there...
I was down in Melbourne with Frank. Go, Noise.
Noise? Yeah. I thought your neighbour was the guy with the shotgun. I thought you were smoking. I thought he was coming over and saying, mate, you're doing it wrong, and just doing blow it through the barrel like in Platoon, you know?
No, this guy had a full-on double-barrel shotgun and was quite prepared to fire and jump off his fence. Oh, yeah. And it probably was full of salt, because that was something that happened too regularly. You know, there's guys firing each other with mung beans and rock salt you put down the end of a shotgun and fired at people. And that happened. Wow. I know guys that were hit with it, you know, that were raiding, doing fruit trees and just, you know, sneaking on people's properties. We had that
here with that silly internet phone game. What's it called? Pokemon Go. Where people were coming onto
it. Yeah, but
neighbor's property. That
happened, but that was there's a bit of a psyop in that. That was a,
you think so?
Was, yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, that was cool. That was trying to introduce us into not AI, but what's it called? It's when you can look at through your glasses and you're seeing real people and anime at the same time. There's a name for it that, of course, I can't remember it.
I'm not into.
There's VR, AI, and then there's something reality. It's called something real. It's where you've got real people and funny things. Virtual reality is when you've got all total computer animation.
Right.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, look, Rachel's just PM me and says she wants to join us.
So yeah, like, bring her. She's cool.
Sweet. So Val said if you can drag her in.
Yep. And she's a chick.
She's a top chick. We're on fakeologist.com. And thank you, Rick.
Yo.
And you, Noise Level from Perth.
No problem.
Yeah,
no
you're problem on fakeologist.com. I'm your host, Rollo. Yeah. The hostess with the mostest, the drunkest with the monstest. I don't know, whatever
drives with that.
So we'll be coming up with a special guest, a very special guest that we're all. I bet you want to know who it is. After
he's
the break.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's hot.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
That's Jesse Wah on Alex Jones. It's 12 minutes long. I won't play the whole thing because I'm sure most people are probably kind of bored by it, but you can take a look at that if you want.
Is he someone that's been on your show, Ed?
Yeah, he came on for an interview. Yeah, he did Nuke Lies. Yeah, he came on for an interview. Yeah, he was the one that really had the only YouTube video that was discussing the nuclear detonations as being fake. Jesse Wah.
Is he someone that's been on your show, Ed?
Yeah, he came on for an interview. Yeah, he did Nuke Lies. Jesse Wah. Yeah, he came on for an interview. Yeah, he... Well, Nuke Lies might still be on there, but Jesse Wah is still around. Jesse Wah. Yeah, he... Jesse Wah. Yeah, he...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams, I have a...
Cocaine. Don't you believe what you've seen or you've heard? Shirley Strawn. Rest in peace, Shirley Strawn. Strachan, if you actually want to pronounce it correctly. We're here with Exoteric 54. Noise Level from Perth. Let's go back to Rick. Rick from Port. Like, how was Comic-Con today, mate?
That was awesome. It was yesterday. Yeah, it was fantastic. It was. Yeah.
Did you meet anyone? How many famous people did you meet?
No famous people, but lots of people pretending to be famous people. and it was a bit of a. It was fun, but I think it's a real worry that there's so many people out there that would rather dress up as someone else and not be their own personality and are living a life that is just not them. That's bringing into this virtual reality, transhumanism agenda big time. And there's a lot of, it was.
I'm looking at the photos you sent me. You sent me Some lovely photos there. Noise. You're into comics as well, aren't you, mate? You've got a comic.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys have a little.
I've never been to Comic-Con, but I've got a friend who he went and he.
Appalling.
Hold on, Rick. Noise.
No. Go. I'm just trying to think. I can't remember who he met, but he was stoked. He loves it, you know. So, over to you. I'm just.
Rick. So, keep going on about Comic-Con, man.
I just think it's. I looked around and there's so many kind of girl boys and boy girls and young people that are kind of really dressing up as girls and young girls dressing up as boys. There's an agenda behind this whole massive movement. And I'm really interested in discussing at some stage through these podcasts the quality of animation of the 50s and 60s versus what happened in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Where you got, like, say, Bugs Bunny, for instance. If you watch a Bugs Bunny cartoon from 1952 with Fritz Freleng and Fritz Freleng might have been a producer, but the Mel Blanc did all the voices of Bugs Bunny. Yeah. These guys were professionals. They brought in good music, great stories, timeless, absolutely timeless. I mean, you can put these on now. Yeah. Kids will just be absolutely blown away by it. And I was listening to Velocet speaking on the second to last podcast by a fakeologist behind this one about that he'd grew up and he only saw a few of the good Bugs Bunny ones. Well, we had the Bugs Bunny show on, I think it was Saturday nights or something or other growing up, and it used to be on after school. And they had the Roadrunner. They had the really good, high-quality stuff that was just fantastic, you know. And it was you're sitting there laughing your head off, and that would be your child. The little kids and the adults were completely blown away by it.
It was made for adults, but the kids
was,
to join.
It was.
That's the truth.
So it was family entertainment. Then in the 70s and 80s, you got like from the Flintstones, it transformed into Pebbles and Bam Bam show, and the different artists came in. They were poorly written. They were poorly produced. They were cheap. They looked shit. And then Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner show came out, produced in the 70s with artists that were – it was just a completely different cells that they were using that were really much cheaply produced. The storylines were bad. There wasn't a lot of humor in it. And then it got worse into the 90s where you got in the 90s it turned into a surreal – kind of weird, really weird stuff started coming out with a bit of an agenda behind it, which melded into what's turned into a show called that's the big one of the probably the biggest shows at the moment, or it's just finished that I'm probably going to be able to remember the name of. Which I'll go and ask one of my sons will tell me the name of it, but it's surreal, it's almost trippy. Out there with characters that don't make sense, the stories aren't funny, but there's a real kind of hypnotic, dreamy state about the whole thing. And yesterday at Comic-Con, I saw so many characters from that particular cartoon roaming around.
Speaking of cartoon characters, we've got Rachel from Liverpool. Hello, Rachel.
Rock. It's Rock.
It's a man, baby.
Hello. Good to speak to you, Rachel. I'm standing up on my chair.
I want to hear EastEnders or Corrie.
Rachel, was Coronation Street filmed in Manchester, do you think?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so.
For sure, yeah.
Nice to have you here, Rachel.
It's a man, baby.
Hey, Rachel.
Nice to hear a female voice.
It is lovely. Yes. Fakeologist.com, Rachel. Yeah. So, what's on your mind, Rachel? What do you want to talk about today?
I don't know.
The show I'm talking about was Adventure Time. Okay.
Adventure Time.
Yeah. Like, good look into it. It's like an LSD. Yeah. Inspired nightmare that you just don't come out of, and all the kids
because I'm up with the speed with all this animation because I've got young kids and I've been listening and watching all these shows and sitting there going, this is fucking weird, man. You know, like really, like Adventure Time and
up with the Uncle speed, P, LSD.
Up with the speed, up with all
cocaine.
I'd say LSD or so, there's something going on, but Adventure Time.
In the sky with diamonds.
Yeah, the Adventure Time show characters, though, yesterday at Comic Con, there were so many Adventure Time characters, and that show, you just got to watch it.
I don't know Adventure Time.
I
don't know it.
You'd love it.
I'll check
You'd love it.
Rachel?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Teletubbies, yes, but not Adventure Time. Go, Rach. Over to you.
Oh, no, I thought you were asking me. No, I don't know Adventure Time.
Rachel, have you got children?
No.
No, okay. Well, Adventure Time came out about 4, 5, maybe 6 years ago, and it went on to Foxtel on loop. So Foxtel were playing Adventure Time like 3 to 4 episodes a day, maybe more. And I sat there and watched a few of them because the kids were all absolutely besotted with it. And you've got to look into it because it's so out there. It's like, you know, I think it's more LSD-ish where you don't know what's real and what's not, and what they said before might have been something else. And the characters are just, it's like one of the, like the Beatles, Yellow Submarine.
With
a storyline behind it.
We're all living in a yellow submarine.
That's the nearest comparison. It was like the Yellow Submarine. If you put a slight storyline,
have you seen? Hey, Rick, have you seen people when they're doing Lucy, and they hold their hands in front of their face, and you, because you can, you know, your hand, it's just still there. It's still there when you move it.
I've done it. Of course you have.
And you sit there going, holy dooly, you know. Suddenly, you know, the wood grains start moving and the fan stops spinning.
It's mescaline. Mescaline will do the same thing. Yeah, that's
mescaline. I've never done that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like it's a natural hallucinogen from a cactus plant, and you can stare at a wall and all the patterns of the wallpaper start moving.
Yeah. And you look at yourself in the mirror. That's the scariest fucking
thing. Look, they call it, you've listened to Jan Ervin and all those guys have exposed the agenda behind LSD. They actually gave the name hallucinogen was created by Aldous Huxley because they were going to call it schizophrenogen. It was that was the name of it before that. So they came up with a new name because to market the drug back in the 60s, because basically they go right back to where the mushrooms, EGOT or whatever, the mold that they created the LSD from.
That's another thing I've never done. I've never done shrooms.
That's fantastic. Natural. You go to Thailand, you're going to have to do it, you know.
Do shrooms, yeah.
Yeah, and
I've done both. I like that mushies and LSD. Yeah. And every time I've been in Amsterdam, in Bali, and I honestly actually prefer LSD rather
if
than
if it's pure, I suppose.
Do you have good trips or bad ones? Noise like
on LSD, mate. I've had one bad one, mate. And this is one just not so long ago. Like, drop one.
You got
to do it with friends. Yeah, you got to.
But it wasn't you. But it was friends that you know. Mm. Someone you know. Might
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Now, and this is the thing. All of a sudden, during the night, all of a sudden, I walked out barefoot onto my lawn. And it was wet, and I just went, "Wow, man!" And I said to the other guy, and the other guy he jumped on, and he's feeling it too. And all of a sudden, this one guy he had his shoes on. I said, "Hey, dude, take your shoes off." And he goes, "No." I said, "Dude, promise, I'm telling you, take them off."
And this heightens your brain senses.
And he just went, "Wow!"
We went to a guy's 50th, and he spent the night in the tree. Like he climbed the tree and spent the night in the tree. He was just
Well, that's what you do for your
50th. He wanted to be on his.
Well, like, that's what you do for your 50th. You climb up a tree and then spend night staring at leaves
like a monkey. and we're all there going because we were all doing. We were doing eckies that night, so it's like
you're not going to be cohesive with someone tripping when you're on an eckie.
Those are the days.
Okay. I haven't done that in years. Sorry, I've just been informed by someone that knows what he's talking about. Adventure Time was based on an apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah.
In 3000 and what?
21.
In 3021. Everything's mutated. Okay, thank you. I've just been told by someone that knows what's going on. The Adventure
Time research team.
Yeah, I've got the research team in there, and I've got three of them in there at the moment that know everything about
the kitty wikis.
Yeah,
I love them.
It's confirmed. It's apparently confirmed.
Guys, back to like how you were saying, like on an LSD, the dude was climbing the tree. It just reminded me of that. You guys have seen that LSD experiment on British troops, the black and white footage.
Yes.
Yeah, and all of a sudden the commander's just going like, you know, mate, this whole operation, this whole, you know, I have to just cancel, like, you know, one radio operator's he's all tangled around this tree trunk, and you know, the navigator, he's up some tree as well. He climbed a tree, you know, and everyone's laughing their head. I have to cancel the mission. It's a failure, you know. But if anyone out there hasn't seen it, check it out on YouTube.
All right, if you haven't hung out with people tripping, you'd never know what they're talking about.
Just put the link in the show notes. It'll all be good. But war is a hoax or whatever, because I think Hitler used speed on his troops. Like, speed was...
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah.
Are you talking about Adolf? Like,
speed was the thing. Yeah,
they developed, ecstasy or MDA.
MDMA,
It was developed to give to the German troops, so they're in the trenches covered in mud, but yet they were really happy and, you know, cuddly.
Really? I've never heard that one.
Really? No, that's the truth, man. Neither. That's exactly. Yeah.
I like learning something new every day.
It was given to the troops.
So I love you. I love
Google
you.
Google MDR.
I love you.
Thank you, Bill.
So was that, Rick, was that World War One or World War Two?
World War One. Yeah.
Well,
they wanted to drive to make people more comfortable in the trench and whatever setting they were.
They would have needed it. Jesus, mate, what a hell.
I recommend anyone listen to Jan Irvin and a couple of other guys researching the LSD thing. They've gone and got all the citations from the universities like Yale and whatever, and got the letters written between Aldous Huxley and military generals to say, you know, is this working? Is this going to happen? You know, this is going to be. Mm. So they actually wanted to market the drug. It was initially named a schizophrenogen. And so they tried to find something that was more based on, that people were more happy with, and that became a hallucinogen eventually. So it was actually marketed and pushed. And given to all these guys.
Do you think Arthur Conan Doyle, when he wrote Sherlock Holmes, because Sherlock Holmes is in the books.
That was cocaine.
He's a coke fiend.
Look into, I've got the old court books. There's a fantastic series of books written by a guy, a photographer. I know he was a crime writer in Sydney.
Mm.
And he went and got hold of, said to him, you got to go and get these old glass plate, photo plates, because they're going to get destroyed. And he went and he got – and basically all the glass photo plates were old court records and charge sheets from 1913 to 1944. And they're just incredible. You can buy them in the bookshops now. And a lot of the charges were cocaine.
Yeah.
So
Coca-Cola had cocaine in it.
But it was a big drug back in the early days of
– it was, yeah.
You know, we
wonderful drug too. I tell you, I mean,
it's
anyone who gets a chance, try it.
To me, though, it's not like a hallucinogen or schizophrenogen as LSD is, that can really affect your brain and send you into a bipolar state. Cocaine just makes you feel great.
It does, doesn't it?
Right? So there's no comparison. You can't compare cocaine or even amphetamine to a hallucinogen. The hallucinogen will bring out your paranoia, fears. It will bring out bad things.
Yeah, that's why I don't smoke weed. Last time I smoked it was in
a different thing
in New Zealand, actually, you know, from your neck of the woods. And,
yeah, it's a big thing.
It's too strong for me. And
That was all it was about when I grew up. I was lucky in the generation that grew up that LSD had done its damage. Yep. And there'd be people roaming around thinking they were washing machines. There was a guy that lived in my it's kind of funny, but it's not funny. There was a guy everyone used to say, there's washing machine man. He'd just stand there. He was a guy long hair in the beard, and he'd just stand there like agitating.
Mm.
And he'd taken, what the word was, that he'd taken bottom sheet trips. So when they used to dry the LSD onto the blotter paper, some of the stuff would go down the bottom, so the bottom sheet would be really, really strong. And whereas your middle, and this guy had taken two or three of them one night, never came back.
Oh, really?
Oh, shite! I'm sorry to hear that. When I remember the year that Newcastle, where I live, was flooded with crystal meth, and man, it was an annoying place to be at that time.
Mm.
Crystal meth is just a nasty, nasty.
It's not great, is it?
It's like, just did you know a that, shit drug.
Perth,
anyway,
Perth,
we don't have much. No, sorry. Go noise.
Perth is actually, mate, they test our sewerage, you know, and apparently Perth is number one in the world for methamphetamine use.
Mm. Yeah, because of the mining towns there where we've got to work double shifts.
Yeah. But hey, and another thing, back to that, you were saying they gave MDMA to the German troops in World War One.
Yes.
Now, I've never heard that before. I'm not saying, you know, that's not true or whatever. I haven't checked it out yet. But I have actually been on MDMA and in Sydney, and we're having a great time. And all of a sudden, this Kiwi guy that would just like rocked up during the night, you know. And
we said, you can't trust them. You can't trust them.
But he was cool.
Cook me some eggs.
He was cool. Everybody was, mate, in the, you know, the night had gone, and we're all back at my apartment, you know, and girlfriend and friends and all that. And all of a sudden, someone went into my toilet, into the bathroom, and used it, and then kicked a hole in the door. You know, just put their boot in and ripped the hook off the door. And my girlfriend saw it, and she goes, like, what the fuck? You know, you're in our house. You know, why are you destroying it? Who was it? And we kind of worked out it was this Kiwi guy, you know, because he was – and so we kind of confronted him. And my girlfriend, she was losing it, you know, and she was just really in his face. And he flipped out, and he pushed her in the chest, and she fell backwards over the couch. And all of a sudden, you know, you push it's my girlfriend, like, you know, what am I going to do? So I took him on. And, man, I'll tell you, because we're peeling off our heads, mate, it was so hard to fight on that stuff. It was so hard.
It's made for that reason. You know, psychiatrists used a little bit of it to get you to open up, and you love everyone. You can't fight on it. Open up your bum.
The real stuff. The real stuff.
The top shelf. Yeah.
Yeah. When it was good, man, dude, you were just going up to total strangers, guys, and you just go, dude, let's have a hugger. Yeah. And, man, it felt awesome.
It's like
give us a fucking
hug. And it makes music sound. Like the proper music.
It was weaponized. And I'll say why it happened. I read an interview with one of the biggest, you know, I've talked about this before. I'm not sure I was recorded, but.
Nah, it's all right. Don't worry about repeating yourself, Rick. Don't worry.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
It's all right.
There was an interview with one of the soccer hooligans. They call themselves a firm, the Manchester firm, whatever. Yeah, they were the guys that used to do all the soccer hooliganism. And there was an interview with one of the head of the big firm. I think it might have been one of the Millwall or whatever. They were one of the toughest supporters fan bases.
Mm-hmm.
When it was, marketed back in, I guess, 86, 87, 88, it started coming into London. He said it fucked up all the firms because they were there for all this hatred and spitting and getting pissed and wanting to go out and fighting. All of a sudden, the Millwall would be next door with the Regent's Park or whatever the name of the, and they'd be hugging each other and dancing at the same party. And he said it just destroyed their cohesion because they were like hated each other, and all of a sudden they loved each other. And so it can break up. It broke up a lot of support. That kind of thing. It's a good thing, yet it's a bad thing because it actually is destroys cohesion. And it's a deliberate drug. It's like the LSD was brought in the 60s by the CIA manufacturing all that stuff and bringing it in to fuck up the hippie movement that was. The creating havoc with the Vietnam movement. They brought in the LSD dance party rave scene as a thing to break up the social cohesion that was going on. And it had some positive effects. As Rollo was saying, it's really good for, that was used for relationship counselors for warring parties to get together.
Yes.
And you know what man. You when you're on that stuff, you just want everyone to be friendly, But guess what side effect is? 2 days later, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not a good thing. You're crying and arguing and all sorts of positions. It's fantastic at the time, but it's not going to be good 2 days later.
They used to just call it, what was it? Woeful Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, Woeful Wednesday. Terrible Tuesday, mournful Monday.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I remember, it's terrible.
But it's true, and I remember being in a bar, right? And I'd never had anything to do with that stuff, I ordered a beer from this chick. This would be 1989, I guess. And she got the beer and she's coming back to me and she suddenly burst into tears. And I was thinking, what the fuck? And my mate goes, oh, man, she's been on the Eckies. You can look at, and she was a singer. She's getting, this is back when the scenes were just, the scene was just happening. There was all these magazines. There was underground magazines in Sydney called 3D. Remember 3D magazine? There was a.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. It was a rave magazine that used to come out Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it had all the gigs and all these codes were put in it. Like, there were a lot of not subliminal. There were codes written like, there's something happening at there, go there. And there'd be a symbol, like a smiley face symbol, meaning there's going to be pills there, go there. And there was this massive underground scene happening that started about in the late 90s and finished and. Just after probably 9/11, funnily enough,
isn't that a surprise? Huh?
Isn't that a surprise? Yeah, and so pills, fantastic things, for getting on together with people, but the side track is it removes all of your natural
endorphins.
Gives you endorphins, but it creates a lack of balance, and all of a sudden, guess who come on the scene. With a drug that produced an antidote to that, and that was Prozac, and it was those things all went hand in hand, and they got us all medicated. So anyone that says, "Oh, those people are good people," they're not bad; they're good people. We've been just manipulated and turned into a race of fucking drunks and pill popping freaks by the social engineering that's gone on with a real. Nasty agenda in line, and going to that conference I went to Comic Con yesterday was proof that it's worked. That we've got a generation of fucking lunatics that don't know if they're Arthur or Martha are dressed in whatever costume that can't relate to. They don't want to be their own superhero. They want to pretend to be Superman rather than being Super Rollo. You know what I mean? And Super Rollo is an identity. So you
should put my cape on now.
Man, you got to get a costume.
Rachel off. Rick and Rollo. Where's Rachel?
With it? We'll let Rachel talk because I've got to stop.
It's all right. It's all good.
I'm a talkaholic.
No, it's fine. I'm missing.
Are you a superwoman? What color undies does a superwoman wear?
I don't know.
Black ones?
Are you, Rachel, are you blonde or brunette?
Neither.
She's a red. She's a redhead.
Red? Redhead?
No.
Purple?
Oh, if she's purple, that means she's in the new Star Wars movie and fucks everything up.
That's a terrible movie, man. That's a terrible movie. I've been to see them all.
That it was shit, wasn't it? I wanted.
His name? Bury me.
Laura Dern is the
yeah, Laura Dern's the character. Yeah, the actor. Yeah.
Can you get any more blatant symbol?
Bury me in a ditch, Ryan Johnson.
But can you get a more blatant suggestion of pulling yourself off than a guy named Han Solo?
It's like going yourself. Every time, you know what we're going to
go
and
have a hand.
Every time we watch the footy here in Newcastle or in Sydney, it was like, he's going himself, and everybody puts their heads up. Option B. Going yourself.
Anyway, so Rachel, have you got purple hair, blue hair?
Sorry.
We're just curious.
We're just curious because you're the only woman here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we are.
We are a woman. Man. And look, you're amongst friends, Rachel. Don't worry.
You are. Yeah.
Be honest.
Honesty.
I was just got nondescript coloured hair.
Come on. Say brown, then. Give us a colour, for Christ's sake.
Blue?
Give us a hint.
Purple? Are you like, what's the name from Are You Being Served?
Everyone's
a little bit pussy.
No, I'm going to play with my willy and think of you.
Rachel, is it silver? Is it silver?
I want you all to
play with my willy and think of you.
Look at me pussy.
leave Molly Sugden's pussy out of this. Oh,
just
Lord.
Like a mid-coloured.
Mint?
Mid. Green. Just mid-coloured. Not blonde, not brown, somewhere in between.
Oh, around there. Okay. That's fair enough.
We're trying to visualise who you look like, what you look like.
Yeah.
I've got black hair, blue eyes.
You have
black. And when I go out and when put the mangoes down my, down my bra. Men just keep hitting on me. I don't know why. I feel looking for women. I go trolling for women.
You should shave your beard off.
Yeah, the beard. Yeah, I'm the bearded lady.
Rachel, have you got a beard?
No.
Thank you. Thank God. I don't need that.
We don't need that visual.
She's got a beard downstairs, maybe.
Oh, that'd be disgusting.
Oh, no.
That's
disgusting. You sound very feminine. So I want you to keep it that way.
Yeah.
Nice. I like women to be women and men to be men.
Yeah,
you
know, like, that's right. Rachel, here's a rude question. Here's not a rude question. Do you shave your armpits?
Yeah.
You don't have to
you
answer
do.
That if you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does. There you go. She answered it. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I don't like my wife with hairy armpits.
No, who does? No. Come on.
Because I used to have a friend she didn't shave her armpits and it's lovely, lovely girl, you know, and I think it was just a sort of like a statement, you know, but, up to her, fair enough. And she was very feminine still.
If Elmer first didn't shave her armpits, you wouldn't worry about that too much, would you?
Hey, do you remember, did you see the online video Mimi McPherson? And they tried to get it back. She could start a fire with what she was up to. But yeah, you'll have to look that up, Mimi McPherson. I know. Make sure you trust who you are with when you're filming yourself.
Well, the story goes behind that was that the guy that's with Mimi McPherson in that video, I believe she dumped him or did something, you know, and he was pissed off. And so he made the video and just gave it to all his mates at work. And because obviously he was heartbroken.
Yeah, that was a low trick, that one.
Fucking low trick. And there was the other one, too.
He was the son of the guy that had the big men's, some franchise. Yeah. It was a men's clothing company. That was his son. Yeah, it was his son.
Yeah. There was the, there was also the, the lovely lady from her Home and Away when she was, remember Home and Away?
Thor came from Home and Away, so did Heath Ledger. So there's a bit.
No, but it was the girl, you know, the one that was on.
Which one? There's been heaps.
She's a radio sort of personality. Now.
Oh, yeah. She's an FM star. Okay.
Yeah. That was floating around in the day.
The one, she had a friend called Milko. Is that the one? She was from the beginning. And she's
She was a little girl.
That one. I know who. Can't remember her name.
Kate Ritchie. That's the one. Thank you. Who said that? Was that you, Rick? Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Rick. No, hang on. I'm noise level. I'm noise level.
Oh, you filthy criminal! Stop it.
No, was there a video put out?
Kate Ritchie. And not only did they put the video out, I mean, I can't say that I didn't watch it because I did. You know, once you watch something, you can't unwatch it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they put there was some family stuff at the end of the video.
Oh, really?
No, that's wrong. Apparently the old man was mega pissed. Mega pissed off.
I don't like the whole. Listen, look, the world's become a really nasty place.
It has, hasn't
it? Anyone that suggests that they're all good guys up there and they're having a bit of a joke on us, produce the punchline and tell me the funny bit. Where's the funny bit about what's happened? You know, you've got kids getting medicated, and I know so many that have been kids. Parents that have got kids medicated that have lost their personalities with Ritalin.
Oh, Jesus, that stuff
put onto hormone blockers to stop them growing into males. Tell me where.
Truck drivers are doing dexamphetamine as well, too.
Immediately, your whole creativity is
gone.
Yeah, listen, truck drivers have been doing uppers for years, man. Look at it, you know, six days on the road and gonna, you know, the whole song's based on a guy driving, swallowing pills. Dexies, uppers, downers, they've been big time since Elvis, you know, or before that.
But what it does is I can only speak from a personal experience because I've used it all, so especially those things.
Can I give you a reference?
And yes, your imagination or whatever,
I was on a job the other day and I was talking to a girl same age as my daughter and I started talking about our stuff, right? And she sat there glued to the spot. She goes I've got attention deficit disorder, my doctor's described it, but when what you're saying I want to listen to. And she sat there and listened to me raving on for about an hour or two about, you know, the world and you're being bullshitted to and your history lessons are getting, you're being lied to, blah, 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 blah. Her parents put her onto Ritalin, right? Because she was unhappy at home. And I said, I was unhappy when I was your age. I said, it's completely normal. Then they put her onto her psychiatrist, right? Rich family. Had made her go to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist tried to put her onto the double strength Ritalin. And she said to me, I lost my personality. I was like a zombie. And that is being done to thousands upon thousands of kids. And there's a guy on the site telling us that give me evidence that these guys are bad up there. They're bad. We're being fucking fucked with. And we've got, and then I went to Comic Con and I looked around and there were so many girl boys, boy girls, that have been fucked up by the plastics, you know, that all your food's got plastics on it that create.
What is it?
PBA. Yeah. Whatever it's called. Yeah. Then your clothes have got the stuff in it. When you buy clothes from Target, which are, you know, we do for our kids, you know, because of $10 for a pair of jeans, they are full of plastics. And when you wear them, they soak into your body.
We do live in a world where
we've been engineered into
polyester trend. Though I've got to admit
look man, you can do whatever you like, but it's not good for you. Pure cotton is good for you.
Noise
wants to talk and I'm talking.
I just
on the same subject, I cannot wear I bought some like half cotton polyester or whatever, or there's another name, underwear once, you know. It's cheap, you know, whatever, and man, I my skin just can't handle it, thank God. Because I get a rash, I get itchy.
Thank God. And so you're lucky, your body's saying, don't put that on, man.
I can't do it, man. And so I have to only go in cotton. Even when I try on, like, even in Target or wherever, you know, Kmart.
Kmart and Target are full of – it's full of plasticized clothing.
Polyester, there's another name as well. And I try it on. I go, oh, that looks all right. It's a good price, you know. And I put it on, and all of a sudden I get this slimy rash. Feel.
Your body's telling you, get it off me.
It's slimy.
You've got your underarm deodorants, right, which are full of chemicals. I've got like a business where I'm involved with chemicals.
Chemicals. We're coming up to the top of the hour.
Okay.
So, if you don't mind.
Okay, cool. Shut up, Rick.
Okay, so thank you, Exoteric 64, Noise Level, Rachel. Oh, Rachel from Liverpool, you're on fakeologist.com, and the genius behind everything that you hear tonight is Velocet, our wonderful producer. If you want to help out Fakeologist, $1.19 a month, it's a drop in the ocean, it's a drop in the bucket. Help out.
$111.
And then, and even... $911, thank you. And also how about John LeBron, JLB, if he needs help. I saw him on the Soup Snapchat today. He was raking it in. So maybe just to keep out, because I'm more I prefer to be here at fakeologist.com. But we've got a special guest after the break. So yeah. Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Welcome to the Propaganda Podcast. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio Rolo.com. Well, not .com, but... Radio Rolo, whatever. A. Morris, out.
Magic. All right, so if I was in Illinois and I sent you a private message on Discord and said, hey, uninstall media, I'm going to be in Illinois in this period of time, and I would love to meet up with you and just get a coffee or a peppermint tea, and let's just hang out, all right? And it's up to you if we just meet up off the record. I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but do you think you'd take me up on that invitation? Because I would love to meet you as a real person. I would love to meet you. I'd love to just meet up and just have a chat. It'd be a great night. It'd be fun, right? If you met me in person, I think it would go some way. Like, if we could just meet up, handshake, have a beer, end of the night, just a brief hug and, like, a look in each other's eyes, and you see that I'm just a person, you're just a person. Can't help myself, I fall in love with you. You have nothing to fear. Just take a deep breath, relax, enjoy the sunlight. It's a beautiful time to be alive.
It is a beautiful time to be alive. And now we've got someone quite special, Johnny Clues. We've had some issues in the past. Do you want to unmute and say good day? Hello. Johnny, maybe he's away from with him.
Hello.
Hey, Johnny Clues. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Okay, so Johnny Clues is from Canada. Tell us a little bit about your life as a fakeologist, if you want to call it that, or as a truth seeker or whatever. But just go for it, man.
Okay, well, it's nice to talk to you again, Rollo.
Yep.
It's been a long time, but, never too late, right? And before any other questions, I want to let you guys know that I have fairly dark brown hair, and I do not shave my armpits.
It's a man, baby!
I was just curious. I was curious.
Can we get Rachel to verify that he actually is a man by his voice?
You're a woman, baby!
Yeah, I do have the... soft-spoken, I don't know.
You are soft-spoken, no, Johnny. Keep going, mate. We're not going to talk over you, mate.
That's no problem. I'm not sure exactly how to begin here. What would you like to know exactly?
Let's just talk about, I don't want to get heavy too quickly.
Right. But, are you anything to do with the parody posts that are coming out on about the who meet your fakeologist?
Good question.
About what, the A.A. Morris?
No, the new, there's a whole lot of funny YouTube accounts. Meet your fakeologist.
Member Phil Blanks. He is a dedicated technology nerd. Phil Blanks is also known as Thousand Questions because he can't stop asking people questions, including fakeologist.com owner Abirato. Phil Blanks lacks perception when others are annoyed with him and therefore is persistent in his quest to ask as many questions as possible.
The whole Dustman fallout that happened.
All right, before we even go there, Rollo, want to comment on this.
Wherever you want to go.
I just want to comment on this video that was just played. That definitely is not me. I actually had a problem with that guy because he actually made a video about me a long time ago, as well as Dustman, with the, because I recognized the, the voice, it's just like he typed it out or whatever. So that guy probably has a video on me, whoever it is. And no, it definitely is not me. Mm-hmm. The only thing I've ever put out was through Dustman's channel.
Sure.
Right. I think at one point I did end up throwing some of my own videos. Like later on, I opened up my channel and I had I remember Bad Socks was a series I made. There was a few others. There was one about with Simpsons. I remember Chief Wiggum was in it. But,
you've given us a 40-minute video of yours, and I think we're going to tack it on to the end. But we've got a whole bunch of other stuff. Some John Law stuff that we're going to talk to, but we'll stick with you for the moment. But what was the waking up process like for you, Johnny Clears? And it's not easy, is it? It's not an easy process.
Well, It wasn't for me. Everyone, I'm sure, goes through it their own way. But for me, those years back, if you listen to the first time I was on Fakeologist, you probably wouldn't notice, everyone would notice about themselves maybe, but I noticed I was very nervous in that call and I barely said anything. Like at that time when I called in, I remember I didn't really want to say the word hoax because at that time I was actually, still new to it and I didn't know what I could say, I was that gullible, sadly.
Yeah. How long ago was that, Johnny?
I don't know, but you'd be able to tell by going through the Abs old shows. And I think it was I should know offhand, but I could find it and put it in the show notes. I just have to do a quick search for it. If you typed in actually Johnny Clues in the Fakeologist search, you would, if you scroll down or whatever, you'd probably see, which is when Ab first interviewed me ever.
Yeah.
So.
What do you?
Oh, he got cut off, I think. So.
There, okay. He's back. He's back, Johnny.
Yep. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, what do you think about A.A. Morris, in your opinion, about the meltdown that happened the last 2 weeks?
Well, or what executed
it? Yeah, it is very interesting, for sure.
But see, I'm definitely not in defense of A.A. Morris at all. What he, you know, I thought what I did, like, because I felt kind of bad with my own videos I made because I took a lot of cheap shots, definitely at Ab and even at you, Rolo. And, you know, what he has done is like over the top. Like, I would never be calling Chris Kendall what he's called him. I'll just say the P word. I don't even want to say the
terrible
word.
That's a real, you know what that is? That's an indicator that you get a flashing red light that there's something, there's a malice aforethought with that aspersion. And the way that he did it was cheap and low down. He started first of all, he started having a go at Dave J's son,
right,
and making fun of him. Dave J giving up alcohol because he tripped over while he was drinking in front of his son. He brought that into the play, and then he tried to asperse. You know, he did John Le Bon. He didn't. He was never.
Sorry, there was no bar too low for this guy, right? It's like he was tacking anyone, and like I didn't hear all these, like the Dave J one, it was news to me. Like I heard about the K Hammett. Like he pretty much was, I'm guessing, in that the whole sex worker sex phone thing he's saying with K Hammett, he's trying to say like it's actually this Utoya person who is the ex.
Yeah.
But he made it out to sound like Kay Hammett. And
that's right. And he brought in the teaching aspect and that she shouldn't be done. It was very weaponized and very nasty and very malicious in its intent, as far as I'm concerned,
Well, if there was any kind of line, you think it would be crossed. Like, I'm glad I never, like, I'm not going to say never, like, because near the end when I left the Fakeologist, when I boycotted it, I have many regrets, but you know, you lesson learn, I guess, and you try to learn from your mistakes. But I definitely regret one of my parting words to Ab when I left. I typed it onto his website, and thankfully it didn't last long. Ab was, you know, he's always been pretty civil about stuff, and he deleted it right away, which I was glad because I didn't really want many to see it anyway. I don't know how many people actually saw what I wrote.
No,
but
I didn't see it.
But at this point, like, I would probably want to talk to Ab to even, because really it was just, if no one else seen it, that's maybe even better, because, you know, I'm not that kind of person now. Like, it was so long ago anyway. But, you know, I definitely was running with my emotions,
yeah,
like a lot of things.
We but all change like, all time. We do.
But, like, it wasn't just the Psyopticon. That's just how it began, like the whole voice morphing thing. And it transpired, like, more and more we looked into it, just certain coincidences and stuff.
So, Johnny, can I just ask you,
yes,
why did you leave, like, the whole internet thing, and you kind of left?
Yeah.
Can you explain your backstory, what's going on with that?
Like, you mean just, like, right off, like, not even found on YouTube or anything?
Yeah, you sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's just because, you know.
We'd like to know.
Oh, well, it's just because, you know, just personal. It's just really like a lot of times, too, it's just I just needed to get away because, you know, like where I was before, I had, you know, at times even low confidence and, you know, even any kind of small attack by someone. Like, yeah, sure, they're just maybe, you know, you're supposed to have tough skin or whatever. But, you know, if you went through years of bullying or something, or if you had a tough life or something and had to deal with that, you know, or whatever. So it's just, I just kind of left completely. And for a while, like after I did all these videos, the Voices of Faketurnia and Sock Muppets and stuff, I ended up taking a huge break from, like, looking into fakery for, like,
Are you on Facebook and sort of YouTube? Like, well, you're on YouTube, obviously, but
I was on Twitter for one time. Twitter, but I'm not anymore. I was when the videos, because making the videos, not like there was a lot of anger put into them, and just it was kind of therapeutic in a way, because I was getting a lot of my anger out.
Cathartic, I think, is the word, isn't it? Cathartic, therapeutic.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
keep going.
I was going to mention that it's 911 at the moment.
Okay,
it is in Australia. 11 here in Australia. Yeah, well done. Yep, keep going.
Right, where I just kind of not sure where I was at. Yeah, exactly.
Jennifer Spell. So chill out, mate. You're amongst friends here, mate. So it's all.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. I just kind of lost my train of thought there, but
no worries.
Where I was. Oh yeah, okay. I remember now. So after I made the whole videos, and it really went nowhere for many months. Because you'd play them and no one was really asking about it, or like it was almost like fucking they're non-existent, really. It was like and the amount of hours I put into these videos, it's like anyone who does video editing knows that it takes a lot of time for just a few minutes.
It does.
You've got to put it all together and then bloody render it and then upload it. I mean, it's tons and tons of work, but once you get used to it,
everything works well. Except my problem is I get it all done up, and even for like a 2 minute video, it takes fucking ages.
Mm.
But my biggest problem, my biggest stumbling block, is when I upload it, because fucking YouTube keep bloody blocking me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right. Yeah, because
the bottom line though, who's doing these new ones? Because the very
no idea.
The one about Kalito was nasty. I thought
if it's the same person, like it sounded like it was the same kind of video that was made about me and Banazir as well, like years ago.
Yeah,
because when we were still putting out our own videos, is when this guy actually kind of all of a sudden showed up, and he was like, I don't know, if you go see the videos, it's like it's a person who pretends that they're a huge fans of Ab, but in the same token, in their videos, they kind of slander Ab, saying like,
Dustpan.
I missed it. I don't even watch them because, if it's someone who's going to.
Called Ab Scam.
Who am I to talk, right? Like,
I know. It's okay. I mean, the dustpan thing was I don't know if it was malicious. I saw the comedy in it.
I'm glad you did. And I think you did, Rolo, because you'd play them at least. And like, sadly, you wouldn't talk about anything about them. But at least, you enjoyed them and probably seen even if you didn't agree with the message, you could at least agree with, the video content of it. Like, it made you laugh or whatever, right?
Sure.
Because, nothing's worse than putting hours into a video and getting a thumbs down right away from someone just for no reason. Because, they have no idea how much time was put into it. Like, just people,
That's right. But then,
if
you've made a good video, they should all be thumbs down. Because, it's like Andy Kaufman. Remember when Andy Kaufman? He went out there specifically, when he was wrestling women or whatever, to piss people off. That was his mission. He wasn't a comedian. He was there to challenge people.
And, usually if you're getting attacked, they say, well, I must be doing something right.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So, so after I finished all the dustpan videos and all that, and it stopped happening because the videos did stop, I ended up taking a break completely from fakery and just started looking into comedy podcasts. I needed something to cheer me up and just because there was a lot of personal stuff too with family issues and stuff going on. And so there was a lot of sadness. So I found these broadcasts, these comedy broadcasts, and they really helped a lot. And eventually I ended up, I've been probably listening to audio chats for at least maybe a year again. Mm. Secretly, I'd come and just download the episodes. So I'd still been listening to Rolo and all the new voices. I pretty much know who all of them are because I've listened to all the audios and I don't know where you want to go from here.
No, it's fine. It's like I always try to put a because it's easy to, you know, the fear-based mind control, which is I try to steer clear of that. I know, and the world is there's nastiness in the world, but there's obviously a lot of niceness, and but people that are actually like AA Morris. I mean, I hope he's okay. I mean, I hope he's not paid or whatever.
But, actually, if I can put a bit of statement on this A.A. Morris, I also feel, if anything, like if I take it that this guy's like actually having some kind of manic breakdown, I feel sorry for him. And I hope that, he's like okay and that, you know, he gets some help or whatever he needs. But when I hear he has two children, that kind of makes me concerned a bit. Mm.
And, what prompted you? What prompted you to rejoin Discord and make your return, Johnny, after so long? What prompted you to do that?
If you want to go into that, we can do that. Just many reasons. Like a lot of it was time heals all wounds. You know, you get over stuff, and at times too, I'd listen to the recent audios before I came back, and it's just like, you know, you'd say some things, well, I'd laugh and just like, fuck, you know, you kind of miss the old times because we had good, you know, good laughs and stuff. Sure. And then, you know, and also too, when I was here before, like I said, dealing with so many things, there's a lot of depression going on in me.
Yeah. Are you depressed now, or are you okay? Like, medicated?
If you call weed. Medication.
Yeah, smoke a few. You know what I mean? A few J's, that's fine.
Yeah, right. I don't drink.
I'm on the. I've had a few spliffs and lines and everything tonight. So.
Interesting, but that doesn't sound too out of touch. So,
I'm actually just having a Corona and a couple of ciggies tonight. I'm trying to try stay straight.
Smart, that's good. So glamorous.
Well, thank you, the alien from American Dad.
Your audios are always much better, Rolo, when you are sober. Just because, you know, you can stay into the game kind of thing, you know, you know what I mean? So it's always better. And so there was a lot of reasons why I came back, and some of them were I just started changing just myself. I became more positive. I started practicing different ways to become more positive person, and really looked into accepting myself. And because if you listened before, I used to get so upset at, you know, if someone said any kind of nasty thing to me, I just kind of freak right out. It's like, at this point,
I love it. Like, say whatever you like. John Laws calls me a blockheaded bastard. Listen to this.
You blockheaded bastard.
Or absolute wanker. Come on.
Absolute wanker.
That's John Laws.
That's brilliant.
Australia's radio number one.
Yeah, he's got the golden lungs.
Doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, it's great. So, where was I with that? I know you weren't trying to derail my conversation, Rob.
No. We're going to talk about John Laws later because me and Velocet did a call with him. But we're concentrating on you at the moment. So you don't.
Yeah,
me
I don't.
I
hate it to all. Well, and I hate it to be all about me, right? Because this is not all about me. But I guess if people want to hear what has gone on, well, I'll continue yapping. So, I did a lot of positive changes. Mm-hmm. And, years passed, and I just became a much happier person overall. And I, you know, for those many years, a few years that I didn't look into any kind of hoax or anything, just concentrated on, you know, the smaller things, nature, animals, you know, just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, even music, even though I know a lot of the bands, you know, they got their album covers with all the symbolic shit. And it's just like, I kind of look past that now and still enjoy.
What's your favorite band? Do you like Pink Floyd or?
No, I can't. I probably couldn't name a favorite band just because I like
Rush. Since you're a Canuck, say Rush. Come on, it's got to be up there, isn't it?
Rush, definitely. Yeah.
And Neil Peart. What a
There's some great
drummer he is. Okay, so I'll open up. So we've got Rachel. We've got Exoteric 64. We've got Noise Level here. So if you're okay to take questions from the panel.
Right. I'll just add one more thing, Rolo.
Yeah, go for it.
To kind of conclude with reasons why I came back. I'm sure there's many more, but just one that I remember. It's one of the last ones was I'm pretty sure it was John LeBron who said it. And, you know, people can like John LeBron, people can hate him.
Blah, 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 bling, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think he's got a huge ego. But, you know, not everyone's going to get along. And that just is how life is. We wouldn't all want to get along. It'd be a pretty boring world if we all loved everything the same. So anyway, he said in a broadcast, in an audio chat on here, something about, he was talking about how, I guess there was maybe some bit of infighting in the fakeologists between some of them. And he was just talking about how, why can't we just get along? You know, there's so many people in this world like that we don't get along with at all. Just normal people out there, the normies. And yet, you know, we, in this small niche, we are on like 90% say of most things. Maybe there's a 10% gap or whatever. That's still so much more than compared to everyone else. And I walk out this door. And one example is the other day, my neighbor came home and, you know, I don't really know much about him. And I definitely don't tell him what I'm into. Because, you know, I don't want to get that look. Like, are you
like sure the one, weed? Like the one Rollo's neighbors give him.
Yeah, right. Like, are you sure it's just weed you're smoking, you know? Because so what happened was, you know, he comes home and he's like, preseason hockey was starting. So you're going to watch some hockey, Johnny? And so it's like, you know, where do you go from that? Like, do I say no and kind of be the party pooper and just like the uncool person here? And he kind of walks away, you know, because or do I have to say a little white lie, which I hate fucking doing? But just to kind of blend in with society in quotations, which is a joke. But of course, I had to say that white line, just said, well, I'll probably check it out. But obviously not, because, you know, at this point, I just feel for the most part, sports are rigged. And I don't know to what extent anymore. At one point, I thought maybe pretty much everything, but I don't know. I think maybe just more of the bigger games. And the, you know, maybe the regular season games aren't as, you know, they let them play a little more or whatever. Who knows? But I don't know. Like, even right now, hockey season's starting. And, of course, I'm Canadian, so hockey's big here. So hockey season's coming. And I kind of this year, where last year I was like, fuck, no way I'd even want to watch hockey. I'm actually maybe considering just checking it out and trying to just get past the fact that it might be completely WWF going on here, and just try to just enjoy it for what it is or why I want to watch it. Like, you know, I was very close with my mother, and we used to, there was a kind of a thing we used to do is watch hockey games together. So I can just kind of, you know, it's kind of like a remembrance thing. I don't have to watch it because I know it's shit rigged. Watch it because, you know, it reminds me of my mother or whatever. So, you know, I'm just pondering some stuff here. And just because there's more to life than just looking into hoaxes and thinking everything is just so terrible and everything's so fake and just let it make you so negative. And like, I'm not innocent by all means. I was guilty of it for years. But I hope that I've matured a lot since then and, you know, just become positive. And those words that John said just kind of hit home a bit more. And I was just like, well, yeah, why not go back? And even though, and I was worried because it was a good week that I pondered about coming back just because I was just so, you know, I put all these videos on and I'm worried, fuck, is everyone going to want to bite my head off? And, you know, but for the most part, everyone I've talked to has been super nice. And I'm really happy about that and thankful, you know, and yeah, understanding, you know, especially Ab, you know, and he was probably the worst person that I took out the most on, you know? So, you know,
Am's one of the nicest guys there is. I mean, there is.
Well, I always had
Ab, like, I think it was Frank, when I went down to meet Frank, announced the Salt per Day, and he said, stay disconnected. And once, the trouble is, I want friends. I want like-minded people. And in this game of, you know, exposing media fakery one psyop at a time is very, very hard because you're going to get I don't like using the shill word, but I'm going to use it anyway. You know, you get a few of them moping around, and this A.A. Morris character is, it seems to be.
Well, I don't understand it because he was on
propagandist.
The funny thing is,
split people up. And
right. The funny thing is that a couple months before he had this meltdown or whatever he had, he was on Fakeologist as a guest. Ab interviewed him.
Yeah.
And he was pretty much everything is a hoax, basically. And for someone who, you know, in his breakdown videos, where he's having the breakdown, I mean, he's seen how, you know, he has a really good memory in that. But if you listen to the Ab interview with him, most of his answers were, I forget. Like when Ab was asking.
Like a politician or something, you know, I forget.
But even in that, like, because I was introduced to A. Morris through just these recent breakdown videos where he freaks out. And then I decided to go back and listen to him when he was first on Ab.
They've all been removed now. A.A. Morris.
Well, actually, someone actually wrote that they're still available on iTunes.
Oh, they are on iTunes. So, yeah, you can. Oh, thank you, Rachel. Yeah,
but who knows? Like, it, just in case he ever does take them down, if someone wants to hear, you know, I don't know. I don't really know.
I'm really no interest in hearing them myself. But
if anything, Rollo. In a very small way.
Yeah.
Very small.
Yeah.
I can kind of relate to this guy a little bit, right? Because, you know, in a way, he's kind of doing, in a way, what I was doing, right? Kind of trying to expose all these people. Like, I hope once I start, like, because I'm starting to go through all these old Dustman videos, that I show that I tried to prove my point better than this guy. I never once said a P-word to anyone, like wash my mouth out with soap. You know what I mean? Just disgusting. So,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say anything bad about this guy.
No, fucking call him a cunt if you want.
No, not going to do it, bro. You know why? It's just because it's none of my business who this guy is. And I never got
my mouth washed out with soap, ever.
Did anyone know? Did anyone? I never heard of it. I mean, I heard about it.
No, I got threatened it. I was always threatened.
It was a threat. Never happened, man.
Yeah. This is a threat, right? Bang. This is a promise. I'm going to punch you in the face. Threat. Bang. I punch you in the face. Well, promise.
It's the verbal assault.
Yeah.
Did you get your mouth washed out?
Did I?
At all?
Did I?
Johnny, yeah, you just obviously asked.
Yeah, I remember one time. Yeah, I remember one time when I was pretty young. Oh. Yeah, just
really
you know,
far
remember,
out.
I just
literally or figuratively.
No,
literally.
What did you say?
Oh, good lord.
Well, I don't know. It was different times back then. You know, I'm 44.
Was it carbolic soap? Because carbolic soap, oh, good Lord, you wouldn't want that anywhere near
you. It wasn't like fucking put this whole thing in your mouth and chew it and swallow. It was just like a few seconds just to kind of see, you know.
That's a good one.
To reiterate, you know, the threat. To reiterate.
Yeah, it's just like, if you, I think it's because I was cursing or something. So it was like
you were cursing, yeah.
I believe it would have happened.
Like when I went to a new school, shut up was a curse.
I thought you said really? When us Canadians kiss, because
yeah,
I crazy.
Yeah, go again. What was that, Johnny? What did you say?
I thought you said when you Canadians kiss, because I won't kiss and tell. You know what I mean?
You won't kiss and tell.
Anyway,
hey, keep it simple, stupid. Whenever I hear the word kiss. Either right. I do kiss, keep it simple, stupid, because
I'm a bit of a dummy, you know. I think of their stage play when they're on stage and they go, okay, one, two, left, one, two, to the right. They always do a choreographed, it's always the same thing. I've seen many concerts of theirs, like just through YouTube.
I was just thinking, I was made for loving you. I can't
get
it.
Oh, yes, I've heard that.
Can you sing that?
I have heard that.
It's not easy.
You could definitely replace Paul Stanley, right?
Look, if I met Paul Stanley,
off the Dynasty album, I Was Made for Loving You. Try singing this at home, psychologist.
Someone should put some Windex into that guy. That guy needs to be put down.
Which guy?
That guy singing there. That was me with Frank.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. Yes, I'm aware, yeah.
Hey guys, can I quickly just say something?
Sure,
yes. Talk about Kiss the Band. I remember when I was at school in the 70s, primary school, which was co-ed, it was just a public school, and Kiss was huge.
Oh,
and
massive.
It actually the headmaster eventually, I think it was maybe 77, 78, I don't know, and they banned anybody wearing a Kiss T-shirt or any Kiss paraphernalia.
Really?
And you know why?
It's
because apparently Kiss, the word Kiss that banned, it stood for
Knights and Satan Servants.
Knights of Satan Service.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a really interesting album they put out that you never see ever again. It was called the they put this album out, and it was called the what was that book that most famous of the he wrote the Behold a Pale Horse.
Now I'm going to do the
Alex Jones.
No, it wasn't Alex Jones.
No. I know who it was. It was fucking hell.
Yeah, Bill Cooper. Thank you.
Yeah. And they put this out because it was like the album's title was the secret. What did Bill Cooper expose in his book about the that secret doctrine of the Learned Elders of Zion, right? And they put out Kiss put out an album called The Learned Elders, and it was a whole look into it. It's called Learned. And it was all about and the album cover was a big door with a key kind of thing, and the whole basis of this thing was there was these secret people that were running everything, Kiss. It was an album that you don't hear about, but it was a big album. That was called the Elders. I think the album's title is The Elders. And
You think I would have heard of it? Huge Kiss fan.
I know lots of Kiss fans. I hated them. I thought they were fucking weak. I thought they were fucking pretenders.
Was it Music from the Elder?
Music for the Elder. That's it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got your good man.
Yeah. And it was a kind
so
of.
You didn't like Gene Simmons, sorry.
No, man, but
Gene Simmons doing all
I couldn't stand it, but I did like Lick It Up when they took their makeup off and came out and did.
Yes, that's right. Remember when they took their makeup off? I couldn't believe they took it off.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
Because I'm into honesty, and I like that album better than. I thought that was actually quite good.
Do you know, like doing every gig, sorry, Johnny, gig, having to get made up for every gig.
Yeah.
I ain't in the ass.
Yeah, they were ugly blokes.
And then Peter Criss lost his drumming. That's when they got Eric Starr, right?
The guy that wrote most of their best songs was, he's an amazing songwriter, and he was with a whole number of bands, and I'll have to Google his name because I've had about five or six beers. Oh, he wrote there, but that's like New York.
Go on, Google it, and then we'll get back to Johnny. We'll get back to Johnny.
I'm fucking it up.
No, you're not fucking anything up. There's no way you can fuck anything up here. You're on fakeologist.com. We've got a special guest. Johnny Clues, I'm here with Exoteric 64, Noise Level, and Rachel, and obviously our producer Velset. It's nice to have you back, and I know you're softly spoken, and you your main interest in life now is just producing videos and stuff. Is that what it's all about?
Well, the first thing is just being healthy, you know, mind and body, and positivity.
You sound like a really nice guy. I've got to say that.
Oh, thanks. Well,
how old are you, Johnny, again?
I'm 44.
44, so yeah. Right. You're in our age bracket. Yep.
Right. But yeah, positivity, trying to always, you know, see the glass half full all the time, even though it's hard, you know. And that, there's many things you can do to help improve that, like your positivity and stuff. But I, you know, still listen to a lot of music. And but now this, what's nice about this, how I'm going to be going through these old Dustband videos is that it's getting me back into video editing again, because I haven't done it really since I.
Well, what you can do is you can take this audio when it gets released on fakeologist.com, you can make it a lovely video and.
I could. Yeah.
You could do it.
But I will be. I will be going through.
Are you going to use Skeletor and
no,
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe?
I want to be He-Man. Can I be He-Man? Rachel can be He-Man.
I want to be Wonder Woman.
Oh, yes.
No Wonder Woman in Masters of the Universe. Doesn't matter. She can be Wonder Woman if she wants to be. She shaves her armpits, for God's sake. Give her a chance.
Yeah, she does. And what was the original girl's name that played Wonder Woman, you know, the American?
Linda Carter.
Linda.
What a fantastic blue eyes she had.
She was beautiful.
Oh,
she
was beautiful. Awesome.
She couldn't act out of a paper bag.
Who cares?
She was all right. She was okay. But she was great.
I've had a hot salt. You know, while we've been talking, I've had a hot salt bath. As we've been chatting, no one would have known.
That's it.
But I just want Frank from
how to look, I've got his packet in front of me. South salt, melt in your mouth. Natural sea salt flakes, 230 grams.
I bathe in salt. I have a hot bath with heaps of salt in it, and I feel heaps better. And I sniff it up my nose and. Frank would think I was cool.
You are so cheeky, Rick.
can I quickly just say something? Like, it just back to the Kiss, when we were talking about the Kiss. I never knew that the most of the band members, I think, and this is not anti-Semitic or anything, but
they're all Jewish. But most, look at most good, the musicians back in the day, Bruce Springsteen, Paul Simon.
Ramones.
All of the Ramones, man.
There's a website called Jew or Not Jew.
They just seem to be really fantastic at writing stuff. Like, look at Neil Simon, look at Woody Allen. And I'll tell you, some of the best stuff was ever done was I just had an owl fly past and it's sitting in a tree near me, looking at me.
Oh, nice!
The guy that wrote Spinal Tap, Rob Reiner's father. Was one of the main writers. He played Siegfried, not Siegfried. He was in Get Smart. Carl Reiner. He wrote, the big laugh we had last time, we were talking about the man with two brains. From
a pointy bird, a pointy, pointy.
A pointy bird, a pointy, pointy. I know my head, anointy. That was Carl Reiner. I mean, these guys have got the fucking best sense of humor, bar none, man. I mean, they're writing, and the funniest movies I've ever seen usually been a guy, you know, identifying himself as a Jewish personage.
My favorite composer is Thomas Newman, and he's Thomas Newman is my favorite composer. Yeah, but
listen to Paul
Shawshank
Simon.
Redemption. That music theme. Let's see if Bellisette can play a little bit of
Paul Simon and Garfunkel's music, and is some of the best music ever recorded on the planet. Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond.
Carly Simon.
That's right.
All of them.
The jazz singer himself.
Neil Diamond's Neil Diamond is one of the greatest songwriters.
Crunchy Granola Sweet is my favorite.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, I prefer that. Okay.
You can talk over this, guys. This is Thomas Newman. Fakeologist.com.
What is it? Thomas Newman?
Thomas Newman. This is from The Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
You can talk over it. I'm sure Thomas won't mind. I remember the first time I heard this. Haunting.
Yeah.
And I could see the helicopter going over the prison. And the flag going past.
I prefer the Great Western themes by the other Italian.
Henry Mancini.
No, Henry Mancini did some versions of them, but the guy that wrote the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Henry Morricone or so? Henry Morricone?
No, Ennio Morricone was the guy.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
one. Yeah. And his music is probably the most emotionally beautiful stuff I've ever heard.
I totally agree.
What about Wagner? Richard Wagner? Do you like his stuff?
Wagner, he's awesome.
Wagner did the Attack of the Bomb Greece that they used.
Yep.
For Apocalypse Now. That was Wagner.
Apocalypse Now. Their choppers film.
The big theme when they're coming in with their choppers. Yeah.
Do you like the Redux version or do you prefer the original?
Redux, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you get to see Marlon better.
Yeah. I told you about that movie, though. There's a great movie you can get called The Heart of Darkness, which the movie was based on the book Heart of
Have
Darkness.
Have you read that book? It's a fucking hard read for a thin little book.
So are they. They're all hard reads, but the actual movie that they did, Heart of Darkness, was about how he'd had a meltdown while they were filming it, and then Charlie Sheen's dad, Martin Sheen, had a that shot that they did of him with a having a breakdown. He really was having a breakdown.
And
a friend of mine did stunts on that. When he's lying in the bed in the chopper. And a friend of mine worked on that film, and he said that they'd be there ready to go.
Mm.
This is in the Philippines, right?
Mm.
And they had the Filipino army had all the choppers ready to come sweeping in to do that shot with the Valkyries theme being played. Mm. And he said all of a sudden they'd be ready to go, and the Filipino army would say, "There's a rebel. We got rebel problems on one of the islands," and a whole lot of them just swooped off and went to do real stuff, you know. They weren't fucking around. It was an incredible. You got to watch Heart of Darkness, the documentary about the making of the Apocalypse Now.
I've seen it a long
awesome
time.
Awesome stuff, beautiful music too.
What a scene.
And you can add any music into that scene, particularly some people have added in some Creedence Clearwater. It works with a lot of different music.
Mm.
But one of the greatest movies ever done, hands down.
Is there a way that continue to play that music, but just lower it a bit, and I'm going to just say something here?
Okay, you keep talking, man.
Okay. Jan Erik, when you stated the simple words of too much emotion, I now understand what you mean. You know, I understand now.
Yeah.
That's all. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and Eric was the guy that used to speak to Chris Kendall, was it?
Yeah, a very smart man, you know.
He was from
Norway, wasn't he?
Norway, yeah. I see there's another guy. I didn't realize that. Zal, is it Zal's from Norway?
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and a good friend of mine, the son of the guy that worked on Apocalypse Now, is a filmmaker now in Norway. And I was wondering if he might know him, because he's doing really good business over there. He's got an amazing film production company. He now lives in Norway, and I'm on kind of contact with him via Facebook, and he's doing some good stuff. Norway's an amazing place. I'd love to go there. A lot of good thinkers there. The education system must have been really good up to, I don't know if it still is, but it sounds like it's produced a lot of really good minds.
Yeah, I think it's Norway where, like, education's free. you don't have to pay to go to university.
Yeah. University sounds like free, and so is Iceland and a number of those countries. Yeah.
Like it used to be here, but
yeah, right, it used to be right here when I started.
When I started uni in 89, mate, they just changed the law.
Yeah, what a bunch of capitals.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
scum.
Yeah,
it's a debt trap, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the thinkers that might have been independent thinkers that whatever can't get a scholarship because they're too, like, we'd never get a scholarship, but if we went in there and said, I want to do a gender identification course, you know, you're going to get $300,000 thrown at you. There's a story in the Herald here, Sydney Morning Herald, about how you get a scholarship at Sydney University, do something on gender. And here I go again. If anyone can tell me that there's not a fucking agenda with this bullshit and that it's a good thing and that the people that run things are good people, produce the evidence, produce the punchline. There's no punchline. The punchline is we're being screwed and our youth and our kids are getting a indoctrination into this bullshit. Yeah.
That's right. Totally. And, hey, Johnny Clues, look, this guy used to be a bouncer and he worked on the set of The Matrix. Have you,
right,
Johnny, you've and seen Dark Matrix, City, right?
And Dark City, correct?
Yeah, Dark City. Dark City was the first movie I ever worked on.
And the reason I know this, just because I've listened to the audios, just in case anyone's suspicious, I understand how the suspicious
minds.
You're
right, and he also worked with Brian Brown in that with Heath Ledger, right?
Yeah, it was Two Hands.
Two Hands, that's right. Oh,
yeah. Sweet movie.
I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was a good movie. All shot in the cross. And I'll tell you the funny thing. I was on that one day. I was on this job, and I was it was a pretty dangerous job because we were filming outside areas that are full of junkies and fucking drug dealers and whatever. And anyone at any time, I could have been mistaken for an undercover cop. And back in those days, the Lebanese were going around, including a friend of mine, had a gun, a 45 shoved in his mouth, broke all his teeth. And that's a true story. I'll back it up and I'll go and film the guys.
Hey, dude, I got a gun pulled on me. It was hilarious. I was in Melbourne with Frank and we were at a nightclub after the gig with Luke Biskins. I got crunched into some guy and he talks about, like, who's that underworld figure?
Chopper.
No, Chopper. Not Chopper. The guy that got beaten to death in prison or something.
Which one's better?
Anyway, I'll think of it. Anyway, he pulled his T-shirt up because I got crunched. I was just waiting at the bar to get a drink, right? My ears are bleeding because the music was so friggin' loud. And I got crunched because some guys were larriking around and whatnot. And I got smashed. And this guy, this young kid, pulls his fucking, he's got a Glock under his shirt. I grabbed it and I said, now how does this work?
Melbourne is full of wannabe fucking gangsters.
Oh, man. My God. He disappeared fucking quickly after that.
That's the best way to deal with someone.
He didn't want to shoot me.
Pull it out and pretend to stick it in your mouth.
But we're going to have Gaia with us in the next Excellent. Hour. So we've got 10 minutes until the top of the hour. So, it's been lovely to have you, Johnny Clues. And,
Johnny, just talking to you, you sound like a really nice guy.
Be good, 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 Johnny.
I'm sure.
I forgot Rolo's safe word. Is it still 2212?
No, which is the word that makes Rolo disappear? Is it?
That's a fact. Come on.
Rumpelstiltskin.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
No, Velasquez's got to play it.
Yeah, he might have gone to the toilet.
He could have gone to the toilet anyway, so I will shut up.
We're having free-form talk here.
Yeah.
So what did you say, Rick? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
Noise level is me, and I'm noise level.
Yeah, right. I'm noise level.
You filthy criminal!
We sound very similar.
No, I don't find you Stu, actually, which is surprising because I've been wrong about other people.
Good, we've got identities finally.
Yeah, I've never spoke to you before, Noise Level, but nice to speak to you.
He's a nice guy, and I haven't even met him yet.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I've heard him.
He's a mate of the Golden Skid, Mark. He really is. He's an artist. No, bullshit Golden artist.
I think I remember hearing Chris Kendall or someone saying, "This, have you listened to the Golden Skid Mark? He sounds like it." And he said something nice about you back in the...
Really?
Back in the early days. Because I just thought the name is hilarious. It's hilarious, you know, because we all know what Skid Mark... And back in the day, Skid Mark was like a...
if you wear white undies... Hey, Jen, my mother, when she was still alive... Hey, Rick, when my mother was still alive and she was watching Romper Stomper, right?
Yeah.
She remarked on how clean, you know, they're living this dirty lifestyle, but his white undies were so, there was no skin mark.
Hey, can I tell you a funny story about last night? Hey, last night, after I'd done this military operation with my ex bringing my kids plus one down to the Comic Con, which we had to coordinate, and it all went beautifully. Anyway, so I did this great big day yesterday. I took them to the Comic Con and we walked around and we went back into the city and we had to walk around. And the Sydney is a fucking nightmare now with all the bullshit road closures. And anyway, it all worked out beautifully. And we got back to the hotel last night and I thought, oh, fuck, I want to go for a drink. So I went next door to a pub where I used to be a bouncer at back in the day in the 80s. It was as rough as bad. It was a bad pub. And I was in the pokey room and there's a guy sitting next to me and him and his wife were, and then they were talking to each other, and I heard a Kiwi accent, and I said, asked him if he was a Kiwi, and he said, yeah. And you know what he ended up being? The founder member of Split Enz's brother.
Wow.
And I was like, I said, are you, because he mentioned his surname, and I said, are you so-and-so's brother? Because not the Spins, this is the other founder member of Split Enz.
I got you, and that's all I want.
Because I heard them talking about music.
Yeah.
So I ended up in this, and I said, because me being a Kiwi, I said, you're not Mike Chun's brother. And he goes, yeah, I'm his youngest brother. And I went, are you fucking serious? And his missus went out with the guy from the Celibate Rifles for years. And we were sitting, you know, when you just bump into people and it can't be fortuitous, it just can't be a random thing. It just was meant to be.
Coincidence had, theory.
Yeah. And we had this conversation that just went on and on and on and on. Fantastic. And about Aussie rock, and he knew everybody, and he was, you know, this and that.
In the biz, yeah.
We're talking about Dragon, we're talking about all the bands.
Oh, Dragon, when I met your...
Yeah, man, this guy's he's friends with Mark Williams, you know, he knows
him. Yeah, Mark Williams.
And they all went, get this one, man, they all went to the same school in Auckland, and this guy went there. Brilliant. It was a private school. So I was there drinking pints of Wallop, you know, just getting pissed. And
But
I had the best conversation I've ever had.
Sure.
Yeah, except for being on fakeologist.com radio.
Exactly. Yeah. And don't forget, Split Enz, one of the things I really loved about
Split Enz slash Crowded House.
Had a guy that...
Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Lizzie.
How good is
I think we might be. No, we're not at the top of the hour yet.
Keep talking.
Remember, Split Enz had a guy that just swayed on stage.
Yeah, he was a percussionist, Noel Crombie.
Yeah, and then they went to Crowded House. My God, if you haven't heard Crowded House,
these guys. Yeah, of course they are. And now Crowded leads. Neil Finn's now playing for. He's now the lead guitarist, singer for Fleetwood Mac.
Neil Finn.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
that's so awesome.
Google Fleetwood Mac live on.
What happened to the girl?
Stevie Nicks, they're all there except for the Lindsay Buckingham's resigned and Neil Finn stepped in. And they sound awesome. They appeared on that show.
Oh, I can't wait to see them one day. Yeah.
Listen, I'll give you the note. Google, what's the chick, the big talk show host? Not Oprah's gonna, but now they've got that lesbian blonde headed.
Oh, you can go your own way.
What's her name?
The one that's always dancing.
I hate that bitch, you know, for that. But anyway, forget about that.
Yeah, she pisses me off. I must. Ellen,
Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres, right? Google
Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres.
Fleetwood Mac. Ellen DeGeneres, and you'll get it from 2 weeks ago. The
my
new
favorite Fleetwood Mac song.
The new version of
Dumba Dumba Dum Dum Dumba Dumba Dum.
That's
Tusk. Yeah.
But Google Fleetwood Mac with Neil Finn, and you'll see him. He's now stepped in as a lead guitarist.
Great.
He grew up about half an hour from me in New Zealand back in the day, in a little tiniest little fucking town.
Yeah.
But yet, all of the best New Zealand musos, and I'm talking about Dragon, Fleetwood Mac, Split Ends, Citizen Band, Dave Dolbin. Big song.
That, yeah, Crying in the Chapel.
That's Australian. Forget about him.
Sorry.
He isn't. Yeah, sorry, that's Peter, someone else. But these guys went to the same school. Peter Andre's big, but no, this is Peter, someone else. Crying in the Chapel. Okay. Peter. Oh, anyway, forget about that.
I'm sure that was a Kiwi guy.
No, he wasn't.
I'm wrong then. Okay,
he's from Sydney.
I'm okay to be wrong.
But we ended up having this conversation, and we were the only ones in this room, and we were having this conversation from hell, you know, about, you know who, you know, do you know him? And he goes, yeah, man, we're going out for a drink tomorrow night. You know, like the rock royalty of Australia and New Zealand, this guy's the youngest brother of the boys that formed Split Ends with the Finn Brothers.
Mm.
And so, I had the best day ever.
I got you.
I got you.
That was actually big in Canada. That was a big song in Canada. Split Ends were completely out there. They were a band that were dressed up like clowns, literally, and played music that was just so un-1970.
I don't know why sometimes I get frightened. We're coming up to the top of the hour.
Change the subject and let us go.
And then we're going to invite another guest, someone very special. But let's just thank everyone here for the moment. So Exoteric 64, thank you, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Johnny Clues, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rollo.
Noise Level from Perth. Rachel from Liverpool. And Velasad, of course, from Sydney, who's doing all the producing. And, we're coming up to the top of the hour. And then we've got a new guest coming. He's going to rock our worlds. Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Hello all fakeologists. I'm Am here to answer another question submitted to Ab. Joe in Tampa, Florida asks, was Guy R banned from Fakeologist? Thanks, Joe, for your question. Yes, Guy R was banned because he mistreated Fakeologist member Faye. Guy R didn't give respect to Faye on Fakeopedia, and Abirator thought it was best that Guy R take a lifetime ban. Guy R said mean things to Faye, and Abirator doesn't tolerate this at Fakeologist. You must respect Faye as she is the owner and administrator of Fakeopedia. Guy R is banned for life from Fakeologist. Thanks, Joe, for your question, and remember, Fakeologists, to submit your questions to aberrator@fakeologist.com. Thank you.
There we go. So thank you, whoever produced that piece of work. Guy R, welcome to the call, mate.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Guy R.
Good to hear your voice, man.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Vietnam. Yeah. So, how's it going, mate? It's been a long time to talk to you actually on the air. So you're in. Where are you at the moment? And then you're heading back somewhere else. You want to talk about that, or would you just prefer to talk?
No. It's okay. I am. Still, and I will be still in Colombia.
Well, we're joined by a cast of characters. So, what's on your mind? What would you like to talk about at the moment?
At the moment, it's coffee, and I will listen to you guys, and then I will jump in if that's okay, right?
Yeah. Well, let some of the cast of characters that we've got going here Rick, yeah, Johnny Clues, noise level.
Good to hear voice.
Yeah. Yep. Ask you some questions.
Cool. Yeah, you do.
Guy, just good to hear your voice, man, after all these years on this, all these months or whatever it is. And it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, I know. Same for me. So it's good to be here in this audio. But I would like to know also about the other people. Johnny Clues, Noise Level, Rachel.
Well, look, Gaia, look, when I first heard your voice, and I have to admit,
how do you know the truth?
I honestly thought this guy's putting this accent on. It's one of the other fakeologists just putting an accent on. I honestly started thinking, mate, accent sounds gee, you know this. So anyway, but where are you from again?
According to a certain character called A. Morris, I am from South Amsterdam.
South Amsterdam.
No, I'm a
psychologist. Here's A.
I'm from a creepy hotel in South Amsterdam. I was born there with an Apollo 11.
Peaceofmindful.com, Hoaxbusters Call, Clues Forum, Fakeologist, Miles Mathis. Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Dead End. Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.
Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com. Miles Mathis, peace of mind. Dead End. Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.
Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Clues Forum, peaceofmindful.com, Pockets of the Future. Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com. Miles Mathis, Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.
Beautiful.
Yeah, great.
So,
I am from Holland. No, I am from Holland. I'm not from Amsterdam, but I am from Holland.
Holland. I've been there many a time. The most travelled place I went to was Amsterdam when I was living in Britain.
Oh, sorry, yeah. 98% of the tourists that was there leave Amsterdam.
Oh, it's just amazing. Mate, the cops are so bored. You know, the cops are just wandering around, mate. There's nothing to do. Everyone's just chilling out. I've been there at least 8 times, and I only saw one. The cops actually arresting some. He looked like a junkie or something like that. But that's it. I never saw them. I saw them just like, you know, big dudes. You know, and just like just wandering around, just going, jeez, you nothing really. Everyone's just chilling and happy.
so you went in summer. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I go in winter, summer. I always find something to do there, mate. Wandering around in circles, going around in circles, circles. I had great times there, man. Great times.
Nice. And you're from Western Australia?
Western Australia, yeah. I'm in Perth at the moment. That's where I was born. Yeah, Aussie.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Aussie. Yeah.
There's no volcanoes there, sadly, so it's not worth going to.
No, there's. You've got Shark Bay.
Guy, if you're going to go to a place, you've got to have a volcano.
It's very flat.
There are no volcanoes in Holland, that's why I left
it. Go to New Zealand. Come to New Zealand.
It's very flat there as well. It's very flat here. You know, we've only got like a little few hills, and that's it, you know. Good for bike riding.
Yeah, you have a lot of oil there, I know, because I had colleagues from Perth. So. Yeah, I haven't been there, but I know quite a bit about it.
Well, yeah, we've got a lot of ore, a lot of stuff that they like digging holes and finding, and you know,
meteorites and ore.
My mate used to collect meteorites, my artist mate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't mention that on this. There's a couple of sites you can't mention that on because they don't exist, apparently.
Is that right?
I showed Rollo one.
Yeah.
I gave him one to hold, but apparently they were just lights in the sky, so they don't exist.
Right. Well, look, I think
we,
I want
we
to mention...
Spoken about, like, look, have we spoken about... Now, A.A. Morris, what are your thoughts on the A.A. Morris meltdown guy? Have you listened to all his audio and stuff?
What I think is, well, he admitted or lied, I don't know if it's true, but that he worked for Bloomberg. That is one of the biggest media organizations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my idea is, what he did is he told his boss, he has two young boys, two kids, and he obviously stays at home and is doing some research or all, I don't know. And I think what he did was tell his boss, listen, I will stay at home, and what I will do is I will infiltrate, that's his own words, an online community of hoaxers, his own words. I will make sure they like me, his own words, and lay out a breadcrumb trail, his own words. And then I will expose them as hoaxers and ridicule them. That is what I think happened.
Yeah, it sounded like, to me, a bait and switch, you know, a bait and switch type deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If he was working on making him, like, if his end goal was to make everyone look silly, well, I think it kind of backfired, because listening to him, he you know, it's him who presents himself sounding pretty silly.
I said that before. Yeah, he's definitely he's the one that looks like a fucking lunatic.
Right. The longer he talks, the worse it gets.
Yeah, and he was breathing really heavily. Like, I listened to it with the headphones on. And I was listening to his voice, and I was thinking, this guy's fucking melting, you know?
I started studying some of this from the point of view of UFOs, of secret technology, anti-gravity technology, because top secret, you know, science fiction military technology from the films, from movies. That's another thing these people are obsessed with. Oh, yeah, Chris Kendall was also obsessed, Back to the Future. Yeah, these people are obsessed with movie films.
How would he know?
And Rick can actually do a really good impression, too. Yeah, Rick.
Welcome to the Propaganda Podcast. You're listening to FakeologistRadioRolo.com. Well, not .com, but Radio Rolo, whatever. That's out.
Oh, dear. Now, apparently, this is what I am, Guy. I'm a stalker, and all I do is stalk.
You travel the world.
The world.
Visiting different countries.
That's about the only accurate. That's the only accurate thing he said.
He's right. Well done, Rick. Well said. Well said. Good point.
So how come you still haven't stalked me here?
Yeah, I've got you on my bucket list, Guy. I've got you on my bucket list.
No, I'm going to play with my willy and think of you.
I'm not going to play with my willy and think of you, Guy. It's okay.
You must have said that once. You willy wanker?
Absolute wanker.
That's John Lewis. Come on. Am I a wanker?
Absolute wanker.
Oh, when Lossy calls you an absolute wanker, you just love it. Yeah.
No, you're royalty, man.
I am on John Laws. We'll be talking about him in the next half hour, because we've got a lot of audio that we can go through. We can maybe go through it now and we can talk about it. Does Val want to start with me, or does he want to start with himself? I don't mind. It's not an ego thing for me.
We'll go in chronological order. So you were the first to call. Let's start replaying your call. So yeah.
See where you agree or disagree with me.
The 24th of September this took place. So just let me know if you need to pause it and comment.
Yep, sure.
Okay, who we got? Rollo, are you there?
Yeah, Jono, how are you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thank you.
Still good? Look, it's lovely to hear you back. You're still number one here in Newcastle?
Yeah, of course we are.
UAC?
Yeah, of course we are.
You are. You'll always be number one here, mate.
Okay.
More donkeys than airplanes? Killed by more donkeys than airplanes?
Yep.
That was your useless fact
You're a bit all over the place there. More donkeys killed by airplanes.
Yeah, but that was his...
I know it was the fact. You muddled it a bit.
That was his opening line. Yeah.
This morning?
That's quite right, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Last time we spoke, I wanted to talk about... you went off air on...
I'm nervous, of course.
September 10th, right?
What did I do?
You didn't go on air on... September 10th was the last time you were on air, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
You know more than he does.
I wanted to talk to you on September 11th.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Now, September 11th's a difficult subject, but I want your listeners to hear me out. Will you give me some freedom of speech?
Well, I don't know what you're going to say. I can't make up my mind.
I'm going to say things that might be a little bit controversial, but if you offer freedom of speech, this is not hate speech. It's freedom of speech, and you say you have freedom of speech, right? On air?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about if I say that on September 11, 2001, 17 years ago, the towers were brought down by controlled demolitions? Is that hate speech or what?
You can hear like a producer in the background going,
can't you?
Everyone there is reacting.
Away. Tapping away.
Yeah. Like it's a freaking tragedy to mention that.
Yeah, for sure. I can hear that too.
Keep going.
Stupid speech.
Hmm. Are you going to call me a conspiracy theorist?
If you want me to.
I don't want you to. Okay. I just know that you are a fabulous guy. And
fabulous.
If I say no planes hit the towers that day... And it was all CGI? Is that freedom of speech?
Yes. Freedom of speech, you can say whatever you like. That's what freedom of speech is all about. I mean, the fact that you're talking nonsense is immaterial.
No, it's not nonsense, though.
Are you telling me that... Okay, so you're telling me that no aeroplanes hit those towers.
See, someone's tapping there.
Sorry?
Someone's tapping there in the studio.
Yeah, I could hear it too.
Look at this.
Yeah.
Cut him off
quick.
It was all CGI, mate.
I see.
Yeah. And there were
Nobody got hurt.
You did get the line in. I didn't realise you got that line in there.
He crushed it.
He
crushed it, but you can still hear it if you...
You're hearing my one. I did all sound bites, but I didn't realise you got that specific line in. That was good. Yeah.
Nobody died.
Landing in the street and hitting people on the head.
All turned to dust. That's CGI.
And people screaming and yelling and running. All that.
I want your listeners to call in after you hang up on me, and hopefully give you a good conversation, because I want the morning to go well for you. Because I'm still glad you're on air, but I'm telling you.
Alive. I was going to say alive.
Barely, I would say.
He is back on air after like 14 days or something after supposedly breaking his back. Do you think he really broke his back? Come on. You don't heal that quick, do you?
No.
Weird that it's September 11 and the guy goes off for 14 days and claims he broke his back.
And then he comes back with a donkey. All of the old killed by donkeys and airplanes.
Yeah, that's all. Good point, Rollo.
Man. Yeah, it's a bit of a strange coincidence.
Sorry, I missed it. What did he say? That there are more people killed by donkeys than
donkeys,
by airplanes?
Get kicked by donkeys. And airplanes. That was his useless information.
He does a fun fact to open the show every morning, and that was his one for the day, that more people die worldwide from donkey accidents than from airplanes.
Yeah. What was interesting was that, with that opening comment about donkeys and airplanes, I just suddenly just started thinking, could be a stretch, whatever, but like the Democrat Party in America, the symbol is... And the Republican is an elephant.
Elephant and a donkey.
I don't know who came up with these fucked up logos, but whatever.
Yeah, nothing, and then they switched the stars upside down or something at one point.
Oh yes, they did. On the elephant. Yeah. But look, I just suddenly I don't know where I'm going with that, but
listen,
by going in pretty those directions, we end up finding some interesting facts. Mm.
Is there any explanation for why that is?
Elephants never forget.
True.
And dogs never forget.
Felicit, please play. Never forget. Never forget. Never forget.
By the way, he did mention later in that show he was trying to remember the name of a song, and the producer, the producer was trying to find it out, and he remembered and said, "Yes, I have the memory of an elephant." So he ended the show with the elephant.
Yeah. Really?
Synchro mysticism.
That's
I didn't pick that one up. Wow.
Elephant and donkey in the one episode. Beginning and end. The bookends.
Yes.
Well done. Well done.
There's absolutely no chance that planes can fly at 500 miles per hour at that low altitude. It's just impossible.
Well, it isn't impossible at all. If they're in a dive, they can travel at more than that.
No. No, I'll disagree with you there. Because If you look at all the footage. Yeah.
Footage. So I'm
okay, so, all right, so it's some kind of conspiracy theory that you're offering me. So who set the whole thing up? Who's responsible?
I don't know who is in the top job who's responsible, but I know that John Howard.
John Howard. There we go.
Onto Australian politics.
The PNAC group. Simple answer. Give them the PNAC group.
PNAC, yeah. What was it called? Something for a new project for a new American century or something?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like to me.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
Thank you, George.
Was our prime minister at the time.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, and he was over there. Yeah, that's right. When no plane hit the Pentagon either. And Glenn Milne, remember Glenn Milne?
I do, yeah. But
he was looking out the window and, seriously, there's a lot of problems with the mainstream media, and I know you're a part of it, but you have.
I know you can get
over it because you're a good guy.
John Howard was in Washington.
He was, yeah. So he could see out of the window when the no plane hit the Pentagon. Yeah, and he got 5 frames.
But they did. I mean, they found the plane in the field.
No, Shanksville.
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Anyway, why are you telling me all this?
Because you are for freedom of speech. Tell me what's on your mind, Australia. 1-300-564-652. You are.
This is where he's going to be real impressed because you're repeating his lines back to him.
Yeah, he loves that.
Gives everyone a voice. And certainly here in Newcastle, you are still number one. And I just appreciate a chance to say what's on my mind.
Okay, well, you've had your chance. Don't take the same opportunity again for a while, Rollo.
All right, mate.
Okay.
He wants you back, though.
No, only if you want me to.
No, I don't.
Have you finished speaking?
Like I said, if your callers, 1-300-564-652, on 2FM Super Radio Network, will call in.
You're desperate to keep the call going, aren't you?
It's beautiful, though. It's organic. He's fucking giving it to...
NLPing him into keeping him on air.
Yeah, and it works.
Because you can't be dumped. You can't be dumped.
No. You're using his own ego against him.
Exactly. Come on, Felicit. Come on.
I'll get that on after we finish this call. We'll do it at the break.
Discuss 9/11 in a deep and meaningful way. In a deep, not just... call people names, because calling people names is a waste of time.
Well, I haven't called you any names yet.
Well, you didn't call me a conspiracy theorist, and I thank you for that.
Yeah,
you're a good guy, John Allen. Look, I'm glad you're on the air. I have the highest respect for you, and I'm not Norman.
Hello, John.
I didn't want Norman to call in today, but I want all your listeners on 2FM and in Sydney and in Newcastle to call in and discuss 9/11 in a deep and meaningful way. If they
isn't it a bit done to death? 9/11, for Christ's sake.
Not as far as we're
to death. But you know, Alex Jones being taken off the air is a massive loss. And look, as much as I don't like the guy,
who's been here?
Alex Jones on Infowars.com. I'm on Fakeologist.com, but Alex Jones 9/11 is an inside job.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're a good guy. I mean,
you keep telling me.
Yeah, look, you're number one, radio number one. I mean, all these years. And I like you. Yeah.
Okay, well, I still don't want you to piss on me.
That was beautiful. It was well done.
Yeah. Really.
Cheers, Velo, and I was happy with the way it went because you have to do the stroking. You have to stroke his ego to start.
Oh, you like him.
Yeah, he likes me. That's right.
I mean, this was more than stroking.
Are we going to listen to that song before we go to Ben? We're going to go to Ben next, or we're going to go. Here we go. Fakeologist.com. Now, everybody, have you heard? Cocaine. If you're in the game, then the stroke's the word. Sort a few fucking lines of coke, for fuck's sake. Got a thirst for killing. Crack your body. I'm so drug fucked tonight. Oh man, I've done so much coke tonight. Too much coke. Give a firm handshake. Shit balls, Batman. Talk to me. Hey! About that one big break. I would be well glad that Ab won't put any of this to air. Oh, you need a good spanking. Open up your bum. It looks like a dick going towards an arsehole to me. Is he circumcised?
Absolute wanker.
Put your left foot out. Cocaine. Keep it all in place. Work your way. Yeah, here we are on fakeologist.com. Here with Eric Exoteric 64. G'day, X, and g'day, Gaia. From he's in Bogota at the moment, or in Colombia.
Beautiful, beautiful sunny Bogota.
Bogota. And Johnny Clues, who's in Canuck territory.
Today. In Canada. Hi, Rolo.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. Noise level from Perth. And Rachel from Liverpool. All right, keep going, Johnny. Yeah, g'day. All right, keep going.
Okay, so as I was saying, this is the 24th of September. Then about half an hour after you, he put me on air, and this is how my call went.
Yeah, okay, let's go.
Tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Joel, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning, Joel.
How you going? It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
How was your break?
I beg your pardon?
How was your break?
It wasn't a break. I was crook. I was in hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, don't be sorry. It's okay. I was in the wonderful St. Vincent's Hospital, and they took very, very good care of me. But I suppose I did have a break in my back.
Oh, dear, that's not good.
Literally, no, it's not good at all.
He caught me by surprise there. How's your break? I could have been making a joke. I didn't even know it.
And, well, as long as they took good care of you.
They certainly did that. St. Vincent's wonderful, wonderful hospital, thank God.
Cash for comment.
Anyway, the reason I called the Swallow guy going on about there being no planes on 9/11, like, it's ridiculous, man. He's been listening to too much fakeologist.com, or, you know, maybe snorting too much cocaine.
What, baby?
I don't know what the deal is. But listen, I know a guy that was in New York on 9/11, and he witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
This is where lies. This is where I go into Harley guy.
Liar.
Yeah, 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 I was thinking that.
From
Mark,
beginning
what
to
was
end.
His name?
Oh, I can't remember the name.
Mark Walsh.
Yes, that's it. Walsh. I had a W. I didn't think Walsh. I thought it was something else.
Our dear researcher never got the name either, right?
Oh, God.
It's Bloomberg, a guy who is from New York, New Jersey.
He was watching with his roommate 5 blocks away, and he saw this plane just come out of nowhere and ream right into the side of the towers, exploding through the other side. And then you witnessed the whole towers collapse, one first, the other second, because the fire was just too intense. Like, how can you deny that evidence?
Well, you really can't unless you're an idiot.
You're such a bullshitter, Joel. You're such a bullshitter.
Oh, he's brilliant. He's getting an Oscar for this.
That's what I agree. If you can't take what that guy is saying as truth, you're an idiot.
I mean, we saw it happen, didn't we? We saw it all there in living colour, the whole damn thing, the whole catastrophe collapsing before our very eyes, people running down the road, debris all over the place, unbelievable winds where the building had collapsed. No, there was no way in the world it could have been fake. No way in the world.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole plane thing, that definitely happened. But look, I don't think anyone died or got hurt. You can't say people died or got hurt. And if you do say that people died or got hurt, you're a spiritual murderer. You are, in fact, a liar.
Flip the script and go Dave J.
Yeah.
Why?
You can't claim that people died or got hurt. You're a false witness to death.
Yeah, no. I'm not understanding what you're meaning.
He's completely off his grid now.
Well, if you claim that anybody died or got hurt on 9/11, then you're a false witness to death, and you're a spiritual murderer.
I see. So nobody died?
Nobody died or got hurt, no.
You are kidding. You are kidding. Joel?
Joel! Oh, Joel.
Yes, Joel.
You're an idiot. You are kidding. You're telling me nobody got hurt, nobody died?
That's what I'm claiming. And if you claim that anybody died or got hurt, you're a false witness to death.
Well,
you're a spiritual murderer.
I see. Well, what were all those people doing with their bodies totally covered up, stiff as a board, being carted away from
that dreadful...
Where
do we see
dreadful...
any of that, John? Where do we see any of that?
Exactly.
I get
bodies
that.
Covered up. I didn't see a single body.
I didn't see shack shit.
The people on the TV. I saw George Clooney in space on the TV, but I don't think it really happened.
Well, of course it didn't, but now you're being absolutely ridiculous. Do you really think that anybody would have got away with faking that? Do you think that anybody would have got away with that?
I know, it's ridiculous, man.
That was a John Le Bon quote.
Don't call me mad.
Yeah, John Le Bon does that. It's ridiculous, man. Let me see if I got that. Let me show you. Wait a second. This is John Le Bon.
It's so fucking good, man.
It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous, man.
It's ridiculous, man.
Don't call me man. Don't call me man.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, it is ridiculous. What you're saying is ridiculous. It's just, what you're saying is plain, ordinary, stupid. You're denying that 9/11 ever happened.
I think there were buildings that were there and now they're not there, but that's about it.
I see. So what happened to the buildings that were there and now they're not there?
Well, I think your last caller, Ben, had it nailed. I think it was, demolition, because war is just demolition and strategic relocation.
Okay, I see. So what war did that happen to be where this demolition took place? Two huge buildings just disappeared. That demolition in war, is it?
No, there's no war.
I fucked that up a bit. I went into that line and then I hadn't thought far enough ahead as to what he might say. Then I was like stumbling, trying to find something to say. I fucked it up, but.
Well, you just said
that went on for longer than I thought it would. I thought he would have canned me by now. That's the problem.
Well, you just said there was.
No, that what people think is war is just demolition. But there's no war. No one went and shot at anyone else. But, yeah.
Yeah.
The idea of people flying around in helicopters shooting at towel heads in the sand, that's, doesn't
That's happen. John Pilger. No, that's happen. What you're going at. John Pilger.
I got a good line in there with the towel heads. You should drop that.
Just go back a tiny little bit. Go back.
Yeah.
The idea of people flying around in helicopters shooting at towel heads in the sand, that's, doesn't happen.
No, doesn't happen. Anyway, Joel, I think, are you seeing anybody about your mental problems?
Yeah, Ab from fakeologist.com helps me out with everything.
Solid girl.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
High five,
I know that you ring me and then you record what you said to me. And then you upload it. I know you do, up to all those tricks, but that doesn't matter.
It's an honour to be on your show. We're glad to have you on board the show. It's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice of you to say so. Rollo, now would you go away?
Rollo?
I'm not Rollo, I'm Joel.
Oh, that's right, yeah, Joel, yeah. No, you're not Rollo. I don't know that there's much difference between the two of you, is there?
I think you rattled him. Cocaine!
Oh, apart from the cocaine, but yeah.
You're rattled.
Are you into cocaine?
No, I don't do drugs myself. I'm not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Oh, that's a drug too.
Okay, all right,
very
Joel.
Clever.
It was good speaking, John.
Goodbye, Joel.
That was so beautiful.
Now here comes the best part. Awesome. This is the best bit. Ready?
Which bit? Which one do you want? That's the end of the clip for my call.
No, he says fakeologist.com.
That's at the end of that's later. I haven't got that in this clip. Let me load it. Give me a second.
All right, mate. Okay.
No, but you got him completely off his track. I mean, he was quiet for just a couple of seconds. How do I deal with this? What?
Yeah. it keeps getting better too. Like.
Yeah, when he was saying goodbye, when he usually does his hang up, he was. He sounded pretty defeated when he was saying goodbye to you.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. I mean, remember, he's 84 years old. We're not taking the piss out of him.
But listen. Yeah. It was just beautiful, man. It was just really good. He's got us sound bites that we never, ever, ever would have got.
Okay, I've got it loaded here.
Okay.
This is after my call. I just had to go through and find it. Here we go.
Yeah, well Rollo was the initial caller about 9/11. He runs some kind of podcast, doesn't he? And he uploads his rants on a site, and I think it's called fakeologist.com. He rings me, and he records it, and then he uploads it. So, in other words, he's having a lend of us. You know, go and make a name for yourself, Rollo, you halfwit. Don't use this program for your name-making. Make a name for yourself. Go and do something worthwhile with your life.
I am making a name for myself, mate.
Exactly.
And I tell you what, recording this program and uploading it is not a very worthwhile thing to do. Anybody can do it.
Bang!
He plays his music.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am making a name for myself. And look, it's not about ego. I've got over that a long time ago. But
we got heaps of grabs out of it too.
Are you seeing anybody about your mental problems?
I am. Have at fakeologist.com.
Goodbye, Joel. Goodbye, Joel. Goodbye, Joel.
Goodbye, Joel.
Goodbye, Joel.
Bye, Joel.
Joel. Goodbye, Joel.
Fuck off,
nobody
Joel.
Died. Fuck off, Joel. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt. Nobody died. You are kidding.
Be right back. Hey, are you an absolute wanker, Jono?
Fakeologist.com.
No. If you listen to fakeologist.com, what are you? You're an absolute
wanker. Absolute wanker.
It's gold, really.
Guy, how's things and where are you tonight, man? Is it Bogota?
I'm in Southampton, and I'm faking a voice.
Of course, you are fakeologist.
Oh yeah.
I'm
a 57-year-old Jewish woman
from Greece, who lives in Germany.
Well, actually, I am the daughter of Henry Kissinger.
Could you do a Henry Kissinger voice, like Exo's
not really. Not really. I am still very upset that my good friend John McCain, my good friend John McCain.
John McCain, who couldn't fly a plane to offend fucking life. How many planes did John McCain crash? How many planes did he crash?
He was never in Vietnam, where he never was in combat, but that is all irrelevant.
Oh, me so horny, Vietnam. Me love you long time. Oh, dear. You know, Two Live Crew, you know, one of my favorite Two Live Crew songs was The Fuck Shop. Because it's got that dun 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 dun, which is from David Lee Roth or Van Halen.
Yeah, there's some great stuff. I'll tell you, a band I got into for a while, but I think they're really disturbing, is the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they do some really out there stuff. And they got this producer
who did,
I don't know if you've heard Kid Rock's version of Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
But the same producer that does Insane Clown Posse produces Kid Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blends in really good. He seems to be able to mix really amazing songs. And they got,
you see, Mike, we got a theory
about magic.
If magic is all we've ever known, then it's easy to miss what really goes on. But I see miracles in every way, and I see miracles every day.
Cocaine.
Since span and beyond my sight, and a million stars way above them at night. Be high to look in the sky and know that's a miracle, open wide.
Look at the mountains, trees, the seven seas,
and everything chilling underwater. Please, hot lava, snow, rain and fog, long neck
giraffe. They talk about magnets or something or other. How do they work? You know, they're a great band.
That's a classic line. There's a meme out of that. Magnets, yeah. How do they work?
Yeah, how the fuck do they work? You know, it's great. It's a great song.
Way of fucking shooting stars, UFOs, a river flows, plant a little seed and nature grows,
Niagara Falls and the pyramids,
everything you believed in as kids,
fucking rainbows, after it rains there's enough miracles here to blow your brains.
I fed a fish to a pelican at Frisco Bay, it tried to eat my cell phone,
he ran away,
and music. Pure and clean, you can feel it and hear it, but it can't.
That's brain blowing.
Yeah,
that's all magic.
Good band.
They're good lyrics, aren't they?
That's a good, I like that band, but they're a bit weaponized, I think. You know, they're the juggalos. They've actually been registered as a gang, that they're illegal to, you know, hang out together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a band that's been
the Vikings.
Like 50 right. Cent or something, or 50.
No, these guys have got their own. They've got hundreds of thousands of guys that dress up as clowns and follow them around and turn up at their performances. Yeah.
One of them was John Wayne Gacy,
right? Yeah, well, one of them looks exactly like John Wayne Gacy, John Wayne Gacy, right, man. Hmm. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's just really violent, nutcase stuff. But going to Comic-Con yesterday, I took a photo of this. There's all this really negative. There's knives to be sold everywhere. They've got, like, what look like real knives and daggers and everything. That seems to be, like, a really big thing to be sold. And there's, like, death and nastiness is a real big theme of the Comic-Con thing. So I kind of came out with it with a real negative view to how it's going. Yeah. I think we're being, well, not us, but the kids today are being kind of pointed in this direction of really nasty kind of satanic stuff. And I was just thinking.
I don't want to cut you off. I mean, let me cut you off. Just ask Ira about his POM. And your articles, what's going on there, mate? And promote it.
I was invited by Mark Tukarski of peaceofmindful.com.
He's the one that's trying to expose his daughter who was attacked by somebody in his house.
All right, come on. Give him a break. Give him a break.
He invited me to become a guest writer there. And so, I started analyzing some things like I did before at fakeologist.com, you know. And so now I'm doing it there. And got two big stories that are obviously bullshit. Out there, one is about the so-called sinking of the Lusitania.
Yeah, great story.
Which is just one big crazy Titanic.
Hey, guy, can I interrupt?
Yeah.
I've got a book here where I am now of a collation of old Country Life magazines from that were sent out to all the farmers and people that lived in the land back in 1914 to 1915.
Yeah.
And I found in that magazine actual adverts showing the Lusitania, the Lusitania getting sunk, and saying that the German people were out in the streets, women and children and adults, laughing and jumping up and down and clapping. It was like this big psyop that was going on in this old 1914 Australian Farmers magazine to get the farmers and the locals angry enough to join the army. Because back in those days, you know, if someone said the Germans have torpedoed a ship and they're laughing about it, what are you going to do about it? Mm. And the basic adverts in this Farmers magazine was saying you've got to join the army and go in there and get revenge, these goddamn Germans, you know, like
it was like join the army like that. It reminds me of that skate band, what was it called?
Join the army by Suicidal Tendencies.
Suicidal Tendencies, remember that?
Yeah, good, great band. Awesome band.
Dun, 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 dun. Join the army.
Just on the same subject, like you were saying about that in that magazine with the, you know, the farmers were celebrating whatever, the Lusitania being sunk.
No, not the farmers, the German people were.
I had a flashback. I remember when 9/11 happened. Mm. I'm pretty sure it was 9/11, and the news, the media, all of a sudden shot to all these Iraqi or Arab people, and all these kids, and they're all just like, you know, jumping up for joy, going, "It's wicked! It's wicked! You know, it's awesome!
Man.
It's awesome!"
I was talking online, or I don't know if I was being recorded, but. Mm-hmm. When they first did the first invasion of Iraq back in 91, we had no Foxtel here, right? So there was no 24-hour news channel. There was just your basic channels that went to sleep at midnight, whatever. Yeah. The night before they did the invasion, Channel 10 went bankrupt. That's the Channel That's 10 right. with the big X. Funny, yeah. Wow. And all of a sudden they just went, Bong, cancel it, and those put on around-the-clock loop of Foxtel and CNN edited into one big loop of green screen.
I remember that too.
When did they go bankrupt? Channel 10.
They went bankrupt about either the week before or the day of invasion of Iraq.
They were called.
Is that right?
They changed their name to something called something Australia, like.
The big X was the logo though.
Yeah,
so they had
that's right. And they had those new, Mike Willis, he's doing new pick a box and all of a sudden
they had this blank channel that they could fill full of propaganda for this invasion of Iraq. This is the first one, not the second one.
Yeah, the first one.
Mm. Okay, I remember, you know, I've always had this kind of inbuilt bullshit detective thing, and I remember looking and going, what the fuck? You know, like we had this channel that was playing Neighbours and E Street, and next thing you know, they've gone bankrupt. Just the night before America decides to take invade Iraq. I mean, what are the odds of that?
Mm.
Yeah, and, you know, it was just like, it was too obvious.
It does ring a bell.
But these are the things, unless you be these are the things that you don't. Nice. This is where age brings wisdom. And I'll say this, I don't know if I've said it before, but I'm going to say it now.
Yeah.
I, at 30, thought I was wise, but the now 54-year-old that I am know how unwise I am, and that the more you know, the less you know. Mm. There's so much stuff that you keep learning and seeing and betrayals and stuff like that that just go through your brain and you go, hang on a minute, you know, you know, just like they're driving down the road and seeing the speed signs all changing into the same digits and stuff like that.
There's nothing
that,
worse
that is
than
why, that. That is why, sorry, that so, is why I said,
yeah.
we cannot know the truth. And it's silly
because the truth changes.
Well, the truth doesn't change, but our
the
idea
narrative
of the
changes.
Truth changes
yeah.
through time. Like,
yeah.
if we well, so
how
when,
can you claim can, that can, you know the truth?
Yeah, brilliant. Oh, hey, and Gaia, that's why I still listen to, you know, because I know you're a, I haven't met you, but I know that you're a good guy. You know what I mean?
That was not the question.
Yeah. And the thing is, and betrayal, and what you were saying
before, you're so funny.
Val said, you are so funny. And betrayal is like things like people like A.A. Morris that do this bait and switch stuff. And,
yeah.
And what they do is try and break people up like us.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Yes.
And that's exactly what they're doing, man. And even I won't say their names, but there's people on the Fakeologist site that are doing the same thing.
Mm.
Just as you get, all of us, and you know, I won't name the names, but
say
all of us are all sitting in the same room. We will go 911 was a setup.
Mm.
Once you get coordinated, and we're all sitting there agreeing it. Someone will come in there and divide you with, well, no one died or no one got hurt or whatever.
Okay.
And so,
I can't believe I know who you're talking about there.
No, well, I'm not referring to just one person, but I'm saying, you know what I mean? Just
nobody
as you
died,
cohesive,
nobody got hurt.
Just as you get,
everybody knows
just
about.
As you get cohesive, that 15 of you will agree with something, someone will come in and make it 7.5 by saying, you know what I mean? And it's so obvious, man. I can't believe anyone doesn't spot this, you know? And that's why I can, you know, I get frustrated when I listen to it breaks you up and turns you into a, so you have to get, you know, another lot. So like Guy had to go and join up with Hoax Busters. And I find them just the same kind of thing. You go over there and you're going to get in an argument with science about there'd be a flat earth or a round earth or whatever. And I don't hold any credence to either of those flat things because I haven't been to space and I haven't been anywhere that I can see down to prove anything. But I just know that once you get cohesive and you agree with each other, someone will come in and divide you into two. And then just when you two split into a good big group.
It's the way of the thing. It's like freedom of assembly. This is assembly right now. What we've got here, we've got Exoteric 64. We've got Gaia. Johnny Clues, Noise Level.
Rachel. This is me. Noise Level's me.
And Velocet,
And I'm Rachel with a wiggle.
Yeah.
It's a man, baby.
You're a man, baby.
It's a man, baby.
But the thing is, look, Rollo, we're all sitting here. We're all getting on together. And our deepest views, we may be completely different. You know, we might be, one of us might be,
homosexual, you know, like you.
Well, I'm not, but yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll say that. Because I'm not scared about that. That doesn't worry me, you know. That's the last aspersion that I'm worried about. But we're all sitting here listening to each other's extremist views, but we're all getting on together.
Yeah.
And but
I don't think that we're that extreme. I really
we're
look
not.
At it as the extreme.
But
that's a lie.
I don't.
That is, in fact, a lie.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm sorry, Dave. I don't look at it as extreme.
It's not a lie. It's just a different opinion, and we should be able to get along. I think John Le Bon's much more easygoing, actually, in actual fact. I think he's
that kind of just needs to grow a sense of humour.
Oh no, I think he's got a sense of humour.
Yeah, I just don't get the laughs out of the lols.
The problem is the difference. I would say is that. He takes himself much too seriously, right?
Yeah, I
we can joke about ourselves, right?
Yeah, and I discovered the reason why, and I found out, and I was always, expected it anyway. He's a Leo. And they don't take themselves seriously. They believe in themselves so well, and they have an ego. And I spent 18 years with three different Leo females, and I know them. I can smell them a mile off.
He doesn't mean to. Have I ever told you the when I first started in radio? Have I told you that story?
Did you get shot?
No. I went up to the, because it was 101.3, 2 Bob FM up in Taree.
Yeah, it's half for me.
And I said, the girl that I ended up working on air, and it did the midnight to dawn shift, like when you do the graveyard shift on radio. And she comes up and she goes, are you Leo? Because Leo was the guy that ran the radio station. And I said, no, I'm Liberin. And she laughed so hard. She did. It was like you had to be there. It was one of those, come on, go. Velocet's got to have a sound effect that goes.
Because you're pushing him. You're pushing him. You're pushing him.
I am. Oh, Pac-Man. Pac-Man fever. Pac-Man fever. Oh, God. God.
No, he's clever. He's a clever man.
Oh, isn't he?
I'm not thinking. It's not Pac-Man. It's Knack-Man. Like project for the new American century was eating the towers, right?
Yeah. P-Knack-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like remember when ecstasy was like really big thing in Australia? Like Pac-Man, that was like those pills.
Oh yeah, I'm not into cocaine, ecstasy pills, is by far the best
cocaine. All right, guys, we're almost to the top of the hour. So if you want to continue on, which I'm sure you do, Ecstasy 64,
Rick.
Gaia from Bogota or Colombia or wherever he is, when you're listening to this, because you've got to remember it is the 30th of September 2018. Johnny Clues, Canuck?
Yes, sir.
How's the ice hockey going?
I don't know.
Don't know? The fix is in, though, anyway. Noise level from Perth.
Yep.
You should be happy because you guys beat the Collywobbles.
Well, we are stoked, man. That's why I was so hungover when stuff, man.
You beat the Collywobbles, the Collywoods.
Awesome. Yeah. It was a great game.
Rachel's on mute at the moment. And me, Rollo, your host, and Velocet, our wonderful producer. We're at the top of the hour.
Producer with the Medusa.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams, I have a plan.
Guys supposedly got anally probed 8 times. And got charged $6,000 for the trouble. You can see the codes there.
A New Mexico man aimed at probe Bob cops. The victim claims in a lawsuit that the feds went up inside of him, and I ain't talking about his head. By him, by saying he clenched his butt cheek. The federal magistrate said, go ahead and look deep in the cheek.
room. They said, no, that's unethical. So we went to the Gila Regional Medical Center. That's where it began. First manually they popped my trunk. Not once but twice. 3 animal bags later, I died with my hanging out guts. It was like out of a science fiction film. 2 times, 3 times, 4, then a 5th. All I'm asking you this, that, with. I'm drinking my 5th. 8 times is enough, don't you think, to see if I'm cheating drugs? 8 times is enough.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt. That's a lie. Stop it. That is, in fact, a lie. If anyone, for any reason at all, claims that anybody died or got hurt, they are a spiritual murderer. They are a liar. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. You have the spirit of a deceiver. You are a deceiver at your core. Find you to be somebody who goes through life causing people problems. Stop it. Stop interrupting me. Oh, we got Caesar in the room. We got Pontius Pilate in the room. Do you know that if you take a rock or a stone next to the river, and you put frosting on it, and you put a candle, do you understand that that will never be a cake? So it's always going to be a rock at its essence.
Fakeologist.com.
That was,
and,
that was great.
If Dave J isn't the best guy for drops, apart from John Laws, I think, I don't know what I'm talking about. He does
absolute
great drops. Wanker. Absolute wanker. Thank you,
you blockheaded bastard.
Oh, go away, John. Leave me alone. Johnny Clues, do you want to say that, something?
Yes, that first song that you played, it was more of a ballad by Dave J. Like, very impressed.
A lot of work.
Well, there's a one part of the song where he's talking about innards. That, you know, it's deep, right? There's nothing better at times to, after a long day, right, just get yourself some Long Island iced tea.
Ooh,
sit
yeah.
back and like listen to that song.
Nice Long Island iced tea.
And I'm telling you, man.
What am I drinking tonight? I'm on the shams, the baby shams tonight.
I have a Brisby Island iced tea.
Noise level? What do you got in your hand?
I'm on the screwdriver again.
You're having a screwdriver. Remember that from Fawlty Towers. So no, two screwdrivers, but no drinks.
I'm on the 50 lashes beer.
What was that? What was that, Rick?
I'm on James Squire 50 lashes.
James Squire 50 lashes. That's a nice drop. Yeah.
I was joking. because I was taking a dish of John the Bomb because he said, I have a Brisbane Island icy latte. I have coffee, of course. Colombian coffee. It's 8 in the morning here. I'm not in.
You're normal guy. You're very normal.
Four hours. Hey, you've got 4 hours to talk to us. But I think Craigbot will only record for 6 hours. I don't know how long we've been going now, but we've got to be going for a while.
Past 4 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So we've done a good
solid effort.
Yeah, solid effort.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think we've gone in all directions, which is exactly what this kind of chat should be in, you know, like.
It's Sunday. Hey, it's Sunday. You're like, yeah, brilliant.
It's been a special guest.
Yep.
Also, it's been nice and civil as well, you know, the conversation.
Yeah, that's the most important part.
Has it been civil? Yeah. Fuck off, Johnny. Hey, Gaia, fuck off, Gaia. And Rick. You can go fuck off back to Comic Con, and Rachel.
Fuck you!
You're in misery.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you!
Civility Central. Here we are at fakeologist.com. Everybody's getting on, so that's all good.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. This is all we're doing is we're having a lighthearted banter. And we're not insulting anybody. We're just being free thinking, free thinkers.
Stop it.
We're all on the same team. You know? Like we're all on the same team.
Yeah, of course we are. Argue. We're on the magic roundabout, and what's her name's here? Florence and Dougal, and every now and then
Ermintrude,
and then. Zebedee will pop up and fuck it up.
Zebedee, do you remember the goodies when they did a piss take on that?
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, that was
they had all the uni students.
I have to have a long memory to remember that.
They had the uni students in that giant fucking Dougal, like, you know, all footlights. Undergrad.
Yeah.
They all had to do the hard work, whereas the goodies just... They got the easy job. Get chased by the damn thing. God, how much money must that have taken? Because there was no CGI back then.
It wasn't CGI. But
no way.
Neither, as I was saying before, with Matrix, they could have saved a fortune on all their the scene. Same with Dark City. Mm. They actually built giant, and I'm not joking, giant cities in a giant in-ground studio of buildings that look like a tenement in New York or wherever they meant to have been filming But I remember when I went to England years later, I had to go up, when I went to the Tower of London, and I was walking up the stairs, we had to go and there's this tour that you go and do.
I've done it.
I actually went up and had to touch all the walls to make sure they weren't just props made out of foam, because it was so.
They've got those white. What are those white buildings with the thatch roofs? What's that style of architecture?
I'm not sure.
They've got one. They've got in there. And they've got crows in there in the tower.
Real crows roaming around.
Yeah, they are real crows.
The legend is that when those crows leave the block, that England's going to crumble and it'll be the end of Great Britain. That's the legend that they say.
Not got long to live then.
No.
Like they're like one of Henry VIII's wives, right?
Have you been to
the
tour?
She paid the guy to chop her head off.
Yeah.
She apparently was a little
cutie. I actually had to get told to leave by the soldiers because it was all the guys that run the tour are all ex. There's a particular regiment, I think, the something Rangers. I can't remember what the name is, but I was in that building and I didn't want to leave because they were telling the story about Henry VIII chopping up Anne Boleyn's head.
Yeah, good luck.
And I remember thinking, I just want to stay in here, you know. I was like looking around. One of the soldiers come up to me and said, man, he goes, you got to go, you know, you get out of here. They actually, and I was on the phone actually going through the jewels in the Tower of London. And I was talking to my ex the mother of my children.
I never got to see the crown jewels. I never got to see them.
They're amazing, but they could.
I saw the jewels up in Scotland in their castle up there in Edinburgh. Yeah.
Edinburgh is an amazing place. We can change that subject because Edinburgh is actually a city built on top of a city. So actually go down if you want to and see a city that's underneath.
Right. Do you know where that tattoo is? And they build the grandstands out over the when they do that tattoo, whatever it is.
That's why I say to people when they go, history's not real, history's not real. Go and do a travel and you'll see things. They'll see things that you have never seen. Like, I'll change the subject, and Guy will like this one.
Yeah, go
for it. At Christmas last year, I went up to the Jenolan Caves in Sydney. And you're up, I think, I don't know, maybe 900 to 1,000 feet above sea level. And in the walls, you can see shells, you can see skeletons, you can see all these things. When you go into those caves, you can actually see seashells embedded into the rock. And those rocks were meant to be sea level, obviously underground. They've been forced up by some incredible earth movement, 950 feet or maybe 1,520, I don't know what it is, but they're way above what sea level would have been. Have you ever driven up the Blue Mountains? You know how high you're going, man. Your ears pop, your whatever.
And here you find ammonites, which are not around anymore, right? In the rock, right in the Andes, at 3 kilometers or 10,000 feet high. Right?
Yeah, I've seen them myself, and I'm into rocks and stuff like that. If you're into geology, you're never going to get this bullshit about history, you know, being 200 years, whatever.
No.
It's there in front of your eyes. You drive up this massive hill, your ears pop, your whatever, and you're looking at seashells embedded in walls. Mm. You know, like, fuck, man. You know, that's...
You don't need to rely on authority. You can visit it. You can go there yourself. That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, and too many people on this thing haven't traveled and haven't been up and seen these things.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's where the arguments fly, and that's why I listen to what you say with religious view. You know, I mean, I listen to what you say, Guy, and I'm with you. You know, I'm a rock person myself. I'm into geology, and I've seen seashells way above what they were. Obviously, when they were embedded in those walls, you know. So we've been around for millions of years or whatever, you know. However it'll take to get a mountain to move into that.
Yeah. Position. I mean, the time span can be – I mean, I'm okay with rewiring that, but then with good data. But it's not like in 200 years you get the mountains formed. I mean,
No, we're talking about loads of years. And if you soak that kind of vibe in, you're there. You know, it's not a thing that it's not an argument you're prepared to go in with. Someone says we're only 200 years old. We're not 200 years old. We're millions of years old for sure.
Yeah.
But we used to be monkeys though. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can remember, actually. I have dreams about myself swinging off trees. But that's probably right.
No, but also there.
We used to be fish as well. We
the ape idea. I mean, if you look at our physique, our functions, our behavior, our smile, facial movements, you look at a chimpanzee or a gorilla or an orangutan, it is very familiar to see it, right? It's not like it's a completely different thing.
No.
So it makes sense to suggest we are related, right?
I mean, well, all I say, this is where I go with everything, with logic. Monkeys are monkeys, men are men. You know what I mean? Like, they're them and we're us. We're completely separate, you know, and We can look at a orangutan hobbling around. Those things were hobbling around exactly probably the same time as we were hobbling around. But we are we have this thing called consciousness and instinct that they don't have. There's no debating it. You know, we are a completely separate entity to the monkey or the, you know, the fish or whatever. And so I want to see some kind of proof that we, where did we defer from being a sentient human being to being a fish that, you know, crawled around some slime that a lightning bolt hit and turned us into humans. Why are there monkeys that are still monkeys and why are we humans, you know? Find me some kind of proof about that and I'll talk to you.
Well, that's the missing link, man. They still can't find it.
But, you know, look at the scams that they tried.
It's pathetic. Yeah.
And we'll go back. We're talking about the goodies the other night, right? They did a really hilarious thing called the Cricklewood Man because they all came from, I think the group must have all flattered in Cricklewood in London. And they had this Cricklewood Man, and it was like an elbow of a, probably a, you know, a sheep or whatever. And they turned the whole thing into this Cricklewood Man who was evolved from sheep. And in actual fact, you know, it was just like some elbow bone of a, you know, yeah, sheep, whatever it was. And the scientists came in, it's like what they did with, something man that they, I think it lasted for 30 or 40. It was a scam that they did in the early 1900s. And they found a bone and it was like an elbow.
The
Piltdown Man.
It was in 1912.
Okay, 1912. That scam lasted for years and years and years. It was a proof we've been evolved from these things. And when you go back doing the old, the John Le Bon, you know, research, he went back and looked at stuff and these things just don't add up. You know, there's no doubt about it that we were scammed, and that they're not prepared to admit these things. Like Piltdown Man went for, I think, 30 years before they actually found out that what they'd done is they'd found the bones of a goat or an ant or whatever it was. They bleached it in coffee to make it look older, and they produced it as evidence that we'd evolved, that Darwin was right. And then we go back to the Darwinism stuff.
Hey guys, look, I hate to bust up the conversation. Yeah. Look, I won't be back, but see you guys. Like, Rick, Gaia,
yes.
Johnny Clues,
yes, level, darling.
Rachel.
Yep. Yes, darling.
Yeah. Hey. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Hey, good night, man.
Yeah, take care, Roland.
Later, man. What was I talking about?
Oh, the Piltdown Man. Yeah. There is proof of an organized scam to fake our past, done, caught out by the authorities back in the day. And there's no arguing with it. You know, the guy was bullshitting, and they got caught out bleaching the bones of a elk or whatever it was to make them look older with coffee. And we're supposed to sit there and then listen to the other stuff that they've produced since then on dinosaurs and
dinosaurs, yeah. It's like, thing, man.
Yeah, we've, you know, what you got to go with for the stuff is just your gut instinct and what is the benefit for this kind of scam to happen. And basically it's to just rubbish anything that you had in your brain about where we evolved from or where we came from or whatever, that we were, that sounded pretty cool.
You know, it was a dinosaur walking.
What do you reckon about, we'll change the subject a bit. What do you reckon about the Scottish, the myth of the Loch Ness Monster? That would be able to be pulled to pieces, I'd say, if someone got in there and looked at, you know, their evidence. Go.
Yeah, one thing that the classic black and white fuzzy picture, you know, where, you know, it looks like a swan's head. So
yeah.
I remember my teacher in year six, so I was about 10 years old, he kind of went, well, you know, like it could be like logs or wood tree trunks or something, you know, just sink to the bottom of Loch Ness, and eventually it builds up so much methane or gas underneath. Yeah.
That's been used.
Floats the log up, and then all of a sudden, then once it goes up, then it sinks again. And that's probably that was one theory, but you know, I don't know.
Do you remember? You know, last conversation we had, we were talking about the goodies Arthur C. Clarke episode. Yeah. Well, on that episode, it said, you know, Loch Ness monster, you know, and Arthur C. Clarke appears, and he goes, "What could it be?" And there's a picture of that lock, the same thing that you're talking about. And he goes, what it actually is a hippopotamus swimming underwater, balancing a French roll with a turtle on the top of it. And in the picture, he's got this picture of a hippopotamus swimming upside down, balancing a French roll with a turtle balancing on the top. You know, and it's just as convincing, you know what I mean? It's like, that's why that show was so fucking funny and so accurate. They pilloried the Piltdown Man with the Cricklewood Man, and they also pilloried the, you know, the footage of the Loch Ness Monster. You know, like a
I do remember that. Yeah.
So there's a kind of that's why I like those shows. They kind of gave us this cynicism that, you know, with a bit of sarcasm and whatever blended in. So the kinds of people that were into that show don't get fooled by. Yeah.
But like Rick, Matt, look. You come up with a story like Loch Ness, mate. Look, great for tourism. Fantastic.
Yeah, of course. You know? Can you imagine the place without the Loch Ness monster myth?
I've never been there. Yeah, but if I was in Scotland, I'd probably go,
of course you would. Because, I'm going to go there. Yeah? Got, you know, there's this giant dinosaur swimming around at night time.
Yeah.
And Hollywood is absolutely fucking throwing that story out there. You know, there's about the water horse. The water horse is a good movie if you're a kid and you don't want to, you know, learn about the truth. But all that stuff.
Is that water horse or war?
The water horse. Yeah, war horse.
Water horse.
Water horse. Okay, I know. Yeah, that was probably the latest thing on Loch Ness Monster. Good movie. Right,
I'll check it out.
But of course it's just full of shit, you know. It's
something to watch.
Rachel, do you want to say some stuff before we go?
Rachel.
Hello.
Rachel.
Rachel with
She's got it. I see a no mic and a no headphone symbol next to her name. Yeah.
Yeah, well hey man, it's been really cool talking to you, brother.
No, definitely, same thing. Yeah. Really, it was a good show.
Yeah, good show, but it's just nice talking to you because, as I said, you've got the knowledge and the experience that I listen to. You know, there's a lot of people, I'll hear them giving me the stuff and I just go, nah, you know. But the more you travel, the more places you go, the more amazing the earth is, and the more you don't, you don't know. And my thing that I've grabbed out of life is that the older you get, the more you realize, the less you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's for sure. There's no two ways about it. Okay. I mean, you've been to, I don't know how many countries, you've seen this and that, but you're not going to go, this definitely happened. You're not going to say that because you understand that there's a myth that was evolved in, you know, South America or wherever that might have gone, whatever direction. You understand that that's how they thought of it and this is how I think of it. You can't give these definites, you know, nobody died, nobody got hurt, you know, all this stuff. That just makes no sense. It makes no sense.
No, it's the difference between I don't know and I don't want to know and I don't know and let's find out.
That's right, yeah. And you got to be, I don't know, and let's find out. That's my view, you know. Yeah. And I sense that with you. And I sense that with my double noise level. We don't claim to be the experts on anything yet.
But
we've got the healthy thing that, you know, what the fuck is it, you know? I just want to know the truth. I just want to know
exactly.
Yeah, and there was a great punk band called what they called Sham 69, and they had this album called Give Me Some Truth, you know. And I remember thinking,
oh, yeah.
I love that whole thing, you know, like, give me, I just want, all you want to know is what happened. And you can't argue with anyone that comes up with their theory on how we got here or whatever. But
yeah,
all I see deep down is there's a mathematical formula for life. There's a thing about the vibration, all that somatics, and there's something out there that we haven't been taught about that's there. Oh,
totally. Yes.
That's so interesting, you know, and yeah. And that the whole sound vibration and creating pictures and sounds and colors and shapes, which is why I'll never go on and argue with Dave J about what he says about his color stuff. It's probably, he could be accurate. I don't know. But I love listening to it. But I won't say, I won't jump on there and go, the guy's a liar. Liar. You know, once you start accusing people of being a bullshit ass, you've lost it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got to just be open
To interject, I try to think of it now that, like, I try to treat people as if they're right in front of me in life. Because, you know? A lot of these keyboard warriors, you know, they'll just, like, call you every name under the book, and I'm not innocent, like, in the past and stuff, but you know what I mean? Would you say certain things to people right in their face like
never.
That?
Never. And that's why I got into a massive argument with Dave J one day on a podcast. We had a big slanging match, you know, and because I'm not the kind of guy to back down and go, you know, okay then. I just gave it the same thing, and we both argued together. Then I said, well, I actually agree with a fair bit of what you're saying. And then we got into a fantastic conversation.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter how badly you disagree with someone, but once you start labeling someone as a liar or a whatever you are, you've lost the argument because you can't produce evidence of this. There's two or three people that I will not listen to that do this fakeologist stuff. My ears just burn, and I go.
That's probably good. But I probably agree. That's probably good, right?
Because I'm using my instinct to go, that's not right. You know,
Who are they?
I think I've mentioned a couple of them before, but and the ones you don't get on with as well, probably. But I get a stomach instinct when I listen to someone that's demanding I believe in something when it's probably their theory or whatever. Yet I can listen to some really extremist stuff. Well, I say extremist, but what would be labelled as extremist, because that's their views, and I'm quite happy to listen to. That's why I listened to A.A. Morris for years. I mean, over the last year, to a lot of the stuff, even though I had alarm bells ringing from the very beginning on his volume of work produced. Within 2 to 3 weeks, I thought, fuck, that's unbelievable, you know, and it sounded good, looked good, but basically he was just reading from a book or a script, basically, by the sound of it. But I wasn't going to jump up and say the guy's a liar, you know, or he's a murderer, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say that. I just let people listen, because I do not know what's the truth. I just go with my gut instinct and what I believe in. And that's why, Guy, I've always listened to your stuff, because I know and I believe you when you say where you've been and where you've worked and what you've done, because it rings true. You know, this is the way we've got to be. But I don't want to start arguments with anyone. That's the thing that I think we lose our cohesiveness and our brotherhood. Once we start fighting and accusing each other of being a liar or whatever, that's just not good for us.
True.
I agree.
Just before we wrap up, Johnny, you just wanted to promote some of your upcoming videos as well, so could you fill us in there?
Yeah, sure. What I'm doing now is the old Dustbin videos that I did a couple years ago, which anyone can find on
it's really funny ones, I must say.
Thanks. On YouTube, if you search for Dustbin and go to the playlist, you'll find them. I started going through certain videos and continue this. I made one today, which was about 38 minutes. I went through the video today's special, Lord Trollo from the hilarious Frankenstein.
You can't help but find funny stuff with Rollo. Everything he does is hilarious.
Same with Typo.
Oh, yeah. He is fucking funny. And I was listening to Ab saying that, oh, I don't want to listen to him. It's sad because he's funny.
When you talk about these people, I see these puppets now in my mind. I see them moving, you know.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe that happens with a lot of people.
It was not hard.
Right. But so right now what I'm doing, I just got the first one done today. I got it in video form and in MP3 form.
Cool.
So, and I plan to do many more like this. Like, hopefully by next Friday, I'll have 3 more different videos done and uploaded to Fakeologist. The reason why I'm doing this too is it's not to derail Ab or try to, make Fakeologist look bad or anything like that. The reason is just because a lot of people do not understand the videos and where my head was at in those days. And it's just basically just to clarify the videos and make my points. And then people can just keep an open mind and maybe see what I was seeing in those times. And maybe they can relate or have questions themselves, you know, about it. So,
yeah, it's good, man. It's good. Look, you got a nice sound about you. You've got the, you know, like Rachel, another one, you know, you don't have any maliciousness. A malice aforethought in your sound. Yeah.
No.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't, Rachel. Of course you don't.
Anyway, yeah. That's a very nice note to wrap up on.
Yeah.
So we're going to take you out now. I think it's time we can wrap up the show.
Yeah, cool.
On the 30th of September 2018, this has been the Fakeologist Audio live stream, the Australian Fake Roundtable. Our hosts tonight were Rick Exoteric 64 from Port Macquarie, as well as Rollo from Newcastle and Noise Level from Western Australia. And we also had our guests Johnny Clues coming to us from Canada, as well as Rachel stopping by, and towards the end we had Gaia visit. So thank you everybody for listening, and you'll be able to catch us in the next episode.
peaceofmindful.com, Hoaxbusters Call, Clues Forum, Fakeologist, Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Dead End. Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.
Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com. Miles Mathis, peace of mind. Dead End. Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.
Miles Mathis. Miles Mathis, Fakeologist, Clues Forum. Peaceofmindful.com. Pockets of the Future. Miles Mathis, peaceofmindful.com. Miles Mathis, Dead End.
Dead End.
Dead End. Dead End.
Dead Enders.